Ooh-wee, do you love what you feel? I bet some of you do love what you feel. According to the Relationship Roundtable, last week, oh my goodness, last Thursday, it went down. Debate around the roundtable was more like love is a battlefield than it was a relationship roundtable. It was hot, heated. It was good. We had the great debate. We had questions asked, posed, disposed, decomposed, everything else. It was interesting. So if you want to catch up on what we've been going through in the last three relationship roundtables, go ahead and go back to the segments on demand on the www.blogtalkradio.com/Let's Do a Radio, because boy, oh boy, last week, whew, that's all I got to say. So hopefully the same people are on this week. We only got through, I think, three questions, and we were there until past bedtime, let's just put it like that, because we were still hot and heated, so I had to cut it loose. But anyway, thank you to those of you who have already joined, and can't wait for the others to join in, because that's all I got to say. This evening, Thursday, today is Tuesday. Oh, my goodness, today is Tuesday, October 18th, 2022. Miss Inez says, let's talk about it, and we are continuing the topic, Relationship Roundtable, Part 4. We have had a few segments which we talked about the following topics on relationships. Why do they fail? Is your love a real love? And STDs, not the diseases, but the sexually transmitted demons. And this evening on Miss Inez Says, Let's Talk About It, we're going even deeper on Relationship Roundtable, Part 4. Yes, Part 4. So I can't wait until the great debate heats up. So the worldwide callers are calling back for more questions, and we're gonna hear more about their comments if we don't debate over them all night long, their reactions and answers. And so if you want to join in tonight, a roundtable, yes, tonight's roundtable, Part 4, please call in to 845-241-9985, as I am Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Anais Aku Designs, and we want to talk about it. What's on your chest? Let's get it off. Let's get these questions started. We have had some really, 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 really interesting answers on the roundtable, and so far who we have on the roundtable is Reverend Ronnie Marshall, who is visiting from out of town. He is not where he usually is, so he's taking time out of his busy schedule, as they say in England, not that that's where he is, and to partake in this evening's roundtable. And also Miss Key is here from Jacksonville, Florida. So welcome, welcome, welcome everybody who's out there, as well as my ride and die girl, Rhonda, in the MD area, not the doctor's area, but Maryland. So welcome, welcome, welcome. How y'all doing this evening?
Oh, very well. How you doing, Ms. Inez?
I am good. I can't wait for the great debate tonight. I see you chimed in early.
we just got out of an OFN conference for the evening, but we got three more days to go.
Okay.
Out in Manhattan, New York, you know. That's where I am.
Okay.
It's been a lovely set, you know. Yeah.
Oh, okay. You the traveling man, the praying man, the traveling man, the singing man, the producing man. He is some of everything. But some of these questions that I don't think we even got to ask you, because this is your first time through the roundtable or your second time, Reverend Ron?
Oh, this is my second time to the roundtable.
To the roundtable, okay. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Because the one that got heated, we're going to go to that. But I want to welcome Miss Key to the line. How you doing, Miss Key?
Hi, good evening, everybody.
Good evening, Keith. How
are you? Wake up.
I'm a little loopy. I had to take some medicine, so.
Okay.
I didn't want to bail on y'all, so. So here
bless
I am.
Your heart. Well, thank you for calling
yeah.
in. Loopy
right.
or not, you could just say, hey, I'm just listening. And you know how you like to, you know, put your $1, $2, $3, $4, $5, $20, $100 comments in there that I just love. So.
I can't help myself all the time.
No, but I mean, you and your sister, boy, you be holding up the girls, the females and the women out there, because like I be trying to hold them, you know, the men be trying to, you know, wear me down, but it's not happening. But hopefully, let me see, Joe will probably be calling in the next probably 2 to 3 minutes. He'll probably be calling in about quarter after the hour. But as they stated to me, if you want to talk on the line, please press 1 to let me know that you are you want to be an active participant. And so that puts a hand up in front of your telephone number so that I know that you want to be an active participant. But I know who my active participants are already, so you know how he is. And hopefully Mr. Solution will be on the line this evening. Last week.
Oh, I think I need some extra medication to deal.
Ooh-wee. And she said some extra medication. That is funny. But Reverend Ron, the question that we got stuck on was, is it a woman's fault men are delaying marriage? And we went off and Ronnie, you're going to have to help me. It was called the fish. What is it? The fish. Dang, never. The fish. 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 Is it a woman's fault men are delaying marriage?
Oh. You
want me to
answer that?
Yeah, you part of the round table, bro, man. You got to, you know.
Right on. Well, let me just say this. I don't think that is 100% the lady's fault.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think they play a part in it. Now, not all the time. And not in every
mm-hmm.
relationship. Now let me just clarify. For the most part,
okay.
If you meet someone, now this could go
mm-hmm.
for men and women. If you meet
mm-hmm.
someone,
mm-hmm.
and perhaps they're not what or where you would like for
mm-hmm.
your future spouse to be, and you
mm-hmm.
conversate with them. And share with them what you desire, what
mm-hmm.
you like, and you're willing to share the same amount of energy towards them. And if
okay.
they have reasons of rejection, well, that
mm-hmm.
can delay a marriage.
Okay.
Because either party, male or female,
mm-hmm.
don't want to go into a long, committed relationship with an unbalanced. From get-go. Because
okay.
if you're into it before you walk down the aisle, and that
mm-hmm.
doesn't be reconciled between the two of you, well, you're carrying
mm-hmm.
something into the marriage. So it's only wise,
okay.
godly wisdom, if somebody put on the brakes and say, hey, wait a minute, we can't go into this marriage like this, because if we're going into the marriage angry, mad, or disdain in some kind of matter, well, then guess what's going to happen a day or two after you get home, or maybe even that night.
Mm. Right.
Because you're going
argument.
Into the marriage with, yeah, you're going into the marriage with unsolved problems, and
okay.
that won't make a good marriage. So the blame, it's enough blame to be passed around, but it could be
mm-hmm.
it could be on both parties. Now, some people argue to mixed argon, but they are arguing for a reason that both of them are working toward, but using different methodology differently. The method that he used, he means the same thing. The method that she uses, she means the same thing, but they got different methods of carrying it out. And instead of them coming together or being mature enough for one to say to the other, we are working for the same purpose. Instead, the devil come in and make somebody think that one or the other is trying to belittle them or either take their stamina. So I do think that it could be either party that slow the process, but women have a percentage in that as well as men do too. That's my perspective. So it's not no one is totally innocent if that happens, because if the woman is not mentally mature, then it's the man's job. If he really loves her, it's his job to do his best to get her to see the reality, or either to get her to understand, well, look, baby, we're working for the same cause. It's her job to say to him, because she says, I want to live the rest of my life with this guy, it's her job to say, well, look, baby, we're working for the same cause, but we just got different methods in which we are doing it, but I'm willing. I'm willing to try your way if you're willing to try my way. Now, if you can't reason and agree, you shouldn't get married because that's a failed marriage.
Okay.
That's my take, and I stand to be corrected, but I believe that most of the time we are working for the same cause but just different method of doing it. I might be a little more experienced, or she might be a little more experienced, and the devil makes the one that's inexperienced think that their thoughts or their opinions don't matter.
And everybody's entitled to, you know, to their opinion. And, you know, because I don't think it's a woman's fault men are delaying marriage. It could be a man's fault women are delaying marriage, you know, so it could work, you know, both ways. It really could work both ways, because if you don't, if he's not, you know, doing what he's supposed to be doing, you're not going to rush into a situation and then all of a sudden, you know, well, you know it's not going to work out, and vice versa. Same thing with the man, you know, trying to marry a woman.
Yeah.
If you're not acting right, A-C-K-I-N, acting right, you know.
Right.
You're not going to marry her until, you know that things are on solid ground. And so that was just a question that was thrown, you know, that's thrown out. But, you know, it could be either way. It could be either way.
Right.
It really could be either way.
It's enough blame. It's enough blame to go around, right?
Right.
It's enough blame.
And we shouldn't blame.
It's enough blame. Yeah. It's
like
enough,
you said
it's
earlier,
blame.
It should be working out, right?
It could
right.
be
And I really think Brother Aaron is on the line. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I do not want the woman to feel like that she's excluded. Because if a man or woman, if a man or woman really love each other, then they want inclusiveness, not exclusion. Because when you exclude me, when you exclude me, my presence is not respected.
If I
exclude her, that means that I don't respect her opinion or her presence.
Gotcha.
So that can cause disdainment and a breakup.
Right, unless you work it out. That's correct.
The Bible says, how can they walk together except they agree? I need the woman that I'm going to marry and be with forever. I don't need her disagreeing with me.
right.
I don't need her disagreeing with me. I don't need her excluding me from her friends, her mama, mm-hmm. her daddy, or nobody. Because I'm supposed
right.
to be first.
Right.
I'm supposed to be first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if
mm-hmm.
I can't be first, yeah. if I can't be the one that you turn your attention away from everything to me,
mm-hmm.
then I ain't the guy that
mm-hmm.
you really, really love, you know?
Okay. Okay. That's all right. All right. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Is that Aaron out there with the last four, 2968?
Hello?
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 Can you hear us okay?
Hello? Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I can.
Oh,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, y'all know this already, what I'm getting ready to tell you right now. You probably already know this, but I'm just going to remind folks, if you're a woman or if you're a man, if you're looking at the other person, right, then you either see Christ in them, and if you don't,
mm-hmm.
that's raised some concern about where they're at, spiritually speaking. You know, when it comes to the word of God, we can't take away from it or add to it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
a lot of folks, this is where it comes difficult for people. When they read the word of God, it says you and us and this and that. But
mm-hmm.
if you keep it in the context of the first century, then you understand what that means.
Uh-huh.
God will give the understanding of what that means so that when you talk about this in the 21st century, you don't act like you're in the first century looking forward to what Christ was going to do on that cross, because we're way after that. And this is where the
religious
people
are panicking. Right.
I'm just saying.
This is
I'm just
Craig,
saying,
right?
I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to bring this. I'm going to bring it around. So
mm-hmm.
now if I'm going to look for somebody that's going to compliment me, and then I'm going to compliment
right.
them. Well, that's a good
mm-hmm.
thing. But sometimes people rush into things too quickly. They don't get to know the person inside, and they like the outside
mm-hmm.
package, and it looks all good. And then they don't they're blinded by that, you know, for a minute, and then they realize, well, you know, wait a second, I've been cranking on the handle to see who's in the box, you know, and that's what you want to do. You want to find who's in there first, and then you could say, okay, I could deal with that. You know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. All right. I see our brother Joe is also joined us. How you doing, Joe?
Hello, Inez. You know, how you
Hi.
Doing?
Hey,
good,
Joe.
Good,
how's it going?
Good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ron, I missed you last week because I was wishing you were here. It was a fiasco. And I was hoping that if you were here, you would have brought some stability back to the program. There was
Thanks
a guy
a lot,
that
Joe.
I know.
Okay.
I'm not talking about you. You're a good hostess.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the guy that showed
Joe,
up last week.
Joe.
Yeah.
Joe, hold on. I believe he's with us this evening. So I think Mr. Solution, otherwise known as Rich, are you with us?
Good, he's here. All right. Here's the thing. He
okay.
shows up last week. All right, he's here. He hears me.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
the whole hour, an hour and a half, was devoted to the guys defending the honor of Key and Bree. Now, I have nothing against what Rich says or how he says it. They do. But
okay.
I want to limit the time for people to speak to no more than 3 minutes, if possible. Okay? Not just Rich, because he...
Who's radio show is it?
I'm making a suggestion, that's all. It was an hour and a half devoted to a back and forth between him, Dustin, and Eddie. Okay. If you listen to the show, I'm only there
mm-hmm.
for like 5% of the time. And I usually limit my comments to no more than 3 minutes so that other people can have a chance to talk. Now, he knows I have no qualm with what he says or how he says it, because he and I have been on
right.
plenty of shows over the years. But when he shows up,
that's fine.
Everybody starts. You should have been there, Ron. You know how we talk about the when we talk about women, we give our male perspective, right?
Right.
So we talk about how, from the male point of view, what we see in deficiencies and faults of women. Okay.
Right.
So Keen Bree, they don't generally like it, but I mean, okay. But Eddie's done it. Dustin's done it. But then Rich shows up. He talks about it in a general way. And everybody starts putting on their white hat and starts acting like Knights of the Round Table defending these women. And the women are already here.
That is not how that conversation played out.
Yeah, that's how it played out. When Dustin defending.
Because you co-signed everything.
Hey. One person at a time, please. Go ahead. Peace.
So, you know, he's here tonight. I hope there's not going to be the same 1.5-hour long controversy. Let's just get down to the brass tacks and, you know, and move on. Okay?
That's no fun.
So that's what I'm saying.
That's no fun.
See, you haven't been involved in 1.5-hour discussions about going back and forth like they have, like last week. I have. They're not fun over a period of time. Okay.
Yeah, well, over a period of time, maybe not. But I think that everybody, you know, got out. We all discussed one question, and that was the one: is it a woman's fault men are delaying marriage? And that was the last question that we had asked. And then I had earlier, before everybody had gotten on the line, I had asked Rich about Mr. Solution, whichever he'd like to be called, about, you know, what was the quality, let me see, number one, was what is the most important quality you're looking for in a relationship? And he said availability. And then he went through, and he can defend himself, because you are on the line, correct, Rich?
Yeah, he was on the line.
Rich. Okay, but he's not saying anything. So, I had asked, and he said, hello, Mr. Eddie, how are you?
Greetings. How's everybody? What's up, Doc?
Hello.
Hey, Eddie, what's
good?
Going on?
Good, I'm good. I'm good.
Hey,
Reverend,
what's
Ron
up, Joe?
Hey,
Rev is in the house.
Yeah.
Thank God. Asking him. He should have been here last week.
Yeah. Well,
last week is still here. Yes, we get. So, I think we can get past that question about is it about the woman? Hopefully, is it a woman's fault men are delaying marriage? Can we go on? Can we go past that? And then there are some questions that I want to ask Reverend Ron, because he's only been here with two of our episodes. And I wanted to see what his answers are, so in some of the questions. And so also the same with Mr. Solution. So let's see. I'm going to go back. Let me see. Okay. I don't know. Reverend Ron, were you here about what is the greatest lesson you learned from your last relationship?
No. I didn't get that one.
Okay.
No,
would you like to answer that?
I have one here. Yes.
Okay,
quote
again for me. Sure. And whoever's making all that noise in the background, please put yourself on mute. Thank you.
I know it's me. Okay.
No, that's me, Joe. I'm cleaning my refrigerator.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, no,
whoever it is, please put yourself on mute until you speak. Thank you so much. What is the greatest lesson you learned from your last relationship?
Well, to begin with, the greatest relationship that I learned from my last relationship is how to be more loving. How to be more loving. How to be more less. how to be more loving, okay. how to be more kinder. I learned how to be a better provider. I've learned how to be affectionate. And I've also learned how to be what they call a person that stand in the gap for my woman's immaturity. For
okay.
peace sake. For peace sake. I've learned how to control me within, because it's difficult for me to lead her if I can't control
mm-hmm.
my own soul.
Mm.
I'm going to say it again. It's difficult for me as a man to lead a
mm-hmm.
woman if
okay.
I can't control my own soul. Now,
okay.
What is that to say? If I'm disciplined within,
mm-hmm.
then a lot of things that would bother me if I was just a hot-headed man, then
mm-hmm.
it don't bother me because I'm disciplined within. So my woman acts a certain kind of way. I got enough discipline that I don't lose my posture. But I deal with her as firmly as I want to, but I apply it with love. But get my point across.
Okay.
You don't all the time have to beat your woman up to get your
mm,
point across.
Into submission. Mm.
You don't all the time have to raise your voice to get your woman
mm-hmm.
to do what you want her to do. You can sometimes apply love and kindness, holding back because you are disciplined, your anger, your frustration, and your vindictiveness. How do I do
okay.
that? How do I do that? Because I'm practicing the lifestyle of God's image, and I'm practicing the lifestyle of how to lead correctly. So I learned those 6 things.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He said 6 things. Okay, anybody mm-hmm. else care to answer that question who has not answered that question?
Next.
The next. Who said that, Eddie?
Yeah,
it wasn't
Eddie.
Me. It wasn't
Eddie,
it wasn't
Eddie
me.
Said that, but Bree or Key wanted to respond to me, I think.
No.
Oh, Key, Key and Bree in the house?
One of them, at least one.
Excuse me. These are the people who are on the line. We have Joe. We have my ride and die girl, Rhonda. We have Reverend Ron. We have Key. We have Craig out of California. And I believe that's Mr. Solution, Rich, and Bra Eddie. That's who we have on the line thus far, and myself.
Okay. Well, I'd like to directly and specifically say good evening to the feminine energy on the line. Good evening.
Good evening, Eddie.
Good evening, man. You know?
Yeah.
Yes, Craig, what's good, man? What's really hood? What's good, man?
No, that's Reverend Ron.
Oh, Reverend Ron. Okay.
Hey, how's it going,
Reverend
Eddie?
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing well, man. Glad to hear your voice
again.
Right.
Glad to be back with you all, man. All the people in New York told me to tell y'all hello.
Okay.
Oh. You're up in the Empire. That's what's good.
Yeah, I'm out in Manhattan, man, you know.
You did
okay,
a show?
Okay, our next question. Listen,
we
can talk about that later on. We are doing the show tonight. We'll talk
can
about
Can I ask
that
him just one more question, please, Doc? One more question, please.
All right, 30 seconds.
All right.
Just kidding. Go ahead.
Where was your show at?
Well, it's the OFN conference.
OFN.
Don't know, my, don't know what that is.
The Opportunity Finance Network.
Ooh. Okay. And where was the meeting at? No, we ain't 30 seconds yet. This is the last question. Where was it at? What meeting? Where was it at? Where was it held?
It's been held in Manhattan at the Hilton.
At the Hilton.
I've been
on the west side.
Eddie is from New York.
Okay.
That's why he's asking
where. Downtown Manhattan. I'm at the 27th floor of the Hilton. And the conference has been held down in the ballroom of the Hilton.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you. Thank us.
Sure.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Al.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we talked about splitting the bills. We just started dating and not sure how things are going to go, but you hope they go well. Do you plan on splitting the bill if he or she asks you on a date? Do you expect that person to pay for the whole date? Reverend Ron and anybody else who'd like to answer the question.
Well, if I go out on a date, I asked a lady out today, I'm going to pay for it. The first date. I'm probably going to pay for the second date. But on the third date, if she don't offer me, I might ask her, are you considered? You know what I mean? I might ask her, are you a considerate lady? Now, if she tells me, say, what do you mean am I considerate? Well, in other words, do you know how to be considerate of a person that you are embarking a relationship with?
Okay.
Are you do you know how to reciprocate kindness? Now, if she says, I don't feel like I had to because you're the man, then my thing to her is, okay, let me say this to you. Your daddy taught you what a man's supposed to do for you. But did he tell you what you're supposed to do for the man? In other words, if I'm kind to you, you want a life commitment with me, then you need to show me that you can be kind to me too without me having to ask you. Then I know that you are a mature woman. But if I have to ask you, to be kind to me, then that means that you haven't been practicing kindness with a man. You could have that attitude, I ain't giving a man nothing. Well, if you got that attitude, you ain't going to give a man nothing. You don't want to give a man nothing. You don't need a man.
If you
love me, or even if you're contemplating on committing with me, you should know how to love a man. But I understand the perfect woman in our mind, men, don't exist. Now, wait a minute. She exists in our minds, but she don't come perfectly fit for us. So we then, as the perfect woman in Reverend Run's mind, don't exist. But the woman in my life, if I want her, if I'm willing to commit with her and want her to commit with me, then because I do love her, I'm willing to share with her what I like and explain to her what I'm doing. So she might say, well, hey, wait a minute. I don't want to go there. Well, you ain't ready for a lifelong commitment if you don't want to go there. Because if you're talking about tying up your life, tying up your access, me tying up my life, tying up my access, bringing you into what I've established, but then you should want to know how I want to be treated. That should be important to a man or a woman, that the person that you're embarking life with know how to treat you and know how you want to be treated, and shouldn't have a problem with doing that.
Okay.
I'll yield for right now.
Okay. Anybody else care to answer that? Okay.
G. Joe.
Well, I was about to call, but I had to unmute myself first. So,
okay.
I would offer to at least go half the first time. And if it's decided that we're not doing the Dutch dates, if the man pays the bill, then I would cover the tip. But I think in more established relationships, at least in my pattern of established relationships, we would alternate. So regardless of who planned it, it would be this dinner date or lunch or whatever it is or activity, and one person would pay it. The next time it would be me, you know. So I don't think there's anything wrong with it because it's mutual consideration and respect.
Right.
I mean, because if you don't have the respect or the consideration for the person, then I think you're just really wasting time.
Right on.
Mm.
Okay.
Because then you're just
whoever she was for president. Whoever she was for president gets Sleepy Joe out of office. Amen.
So silly.
Get unconscious Joe out of office. He doesn't even know he's alive.
Yeah, that's why I call him Sleepy, because sleep could mean anything. You know, he might not even have a pulse. He might be gone already. Ain't no telling.
Yeah,
but anyway, I agree that if I invite, I pay the bill.
Mm-hmm.
The second and third time, we can go Dutch. And just like what Rev said, I wouldn't even ask the question. I would just kind of lean back as far as those activities. I would just, you know, meet at a library,
mm-hmm.
maybe a museum, maybe a park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even if it's just brief.
Uh-huh.
And I don't even think I would ask if she was hungry, just to see if she would ask if I wanted to go to eat. No, I'm just saying I would make myself available.
No,
at
I'm
still.
I'm
still
exactly.
Time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. yeah, just to see. Because
okay.
it's a beautiful thing to demonstrate expectation of equality, but
okay.
If it's not in our heart to do that, then, you know, there could be challenges there, number one. Number two.
There will be challenges.
Yeah, right. But also, I mean, you know, you think about it. A woman might always be pampered on certain levels, and their expectation or their program might be that way, because sometimes it's challenging if she's not mm-hmm. willing to change her ways. Because once things are set in a woman's mind, that's basically the program until it's demonstrated constantly, you know, almost like reinforced on certain levels, not forced. I need to find another term. demonstrated or so. Constantly put on a table,
mean,
Doc.
What,
is that a good?
What are you trying to say? That you know, you get alligator arms all of a sudden when you know it's time to pay the bill. I can't reach it.
No,
that type of thing.
No, just remind
you.
Oh, we're not going
her.
Constantly. Oh, yeah, exactly. If that happens, that
mm-hmm.
shows there's complications. Exactly. Yeah, like mm-hmm. she's gonna pounce. She's gonna ruin the evening because she doesn't want to pay.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But Eddie, look at this. If she has a mindset that she want to keep coming out of a failed relationship, then it's not going to work with me. Now you got to be willing to explain to her, and it can be difficult sometimes, depending on the method that you use. If you explain to her, hey, listen, You don't want to change, but you're an ex. You got an ex. Y'all got exes. So if you bring me a method that led you to an ex and exes, what make you think that's going to work with me? It's not. So you got to change willingly if you love me and want to commit with me. Now, some people say, like Eddie said, some people been pampered that way, but it ain't been much pampering going on if you're an ex.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
No. Okay. I disagree with that part, Doc, because well, you wasn't on last week. Was that last week I said this about those situations that happens in clubs and in those kind of places, bars? A lot of guys, they feel if they buy a woman a drink, that's a contract.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't on last week. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, you said last week.
That's a contract.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a subtle dishonoring of her, and sometimes some of them don't know, and it's a dangerous game. But the reality is it makes things challenging. I'll just leave it at that, because sometimes
okay.
It is where you are
or what's it called, kind of uneasy situation.
Well, I think, and I think you turn around what I said, and that's the reason why you probably disagreed. Now, you put it into a bar situation, but I was speaking on the lines of commitment and a committed relationship.
Yeah. Ah, but the question, Rev, we're just getting to know each other, meaning the man and the woman, of course.
We just started
They're getting
dating
to know each other.
And not sure how things are going to go. But you hope that
that's,
they go well.
Exactly. That's what I was going to get to. We were talking on two different levels.
Deep.
Ron,
right,
you were
right.
talking about
right.
a very deep commitment level. Eddie and B were talking, and I was going to talk about a dating level. That was what the question was.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to know. I would like to see 10 videos of how after the second date, as you were talking about, Ron, that the guy says to the man, you know, if I'm kind to you, the guy says to the girl, if I'm kind to you, then how come you're not kind to me? Now, that's not a conversation most people are going to have after the second date or so. But getting back to the question, from my experience, I tell them up front, it's Dutch, okay? Dutch all the way. First date, second date, third date. Because there are instances which have been documented. One girl, in fact, was on the web, and she was talking about how she went out, and I can't believe this number. If I say the number, it's going to be nuts. But I'm going to say a different number. She went out on 100 different dates in that one particular month simply because she knew every one of the guys. She went out with about maybe 15 guys were going to pay for the dates. That is a reality. A lot of girls, they just want to get out of the house. They enjoy the guy's company. But their conditioning is he pays once, twice, three times, all the time. There have been commentators, anchor women, celebrities who have said, if he wants to take me out, he has to pay. That is the conditioning here in America. Okay? I break it because I want a woman to be out there with me. For me, okay? So it's Dutch all the time until I get to know her, I like her, then I buy her gifts, I take her out, I treat her like a lady. But until then, she's just a stranger to me and a potential relationship in waiting. She is nothing to me until I find out about her more deeply. That's me.
And that's perfectly fine. Yeah. That's perfectly fine because some women are just out there to be taken to dinner. They could care less about the man's feeling. This is, I'm going to give me a free meal. Okay, after the meal's over, I don't feel good. I have a headache. It's like, did you have a headache during the meal? Did you have a headache when he asked you that?
Yeah.
did you have a headache, you know, when the bill came, you know, I had a girlfriend who basically did that. It was the funniest thing. And she didn't even know the guy. And anyway, that's another story for another day. But, that's another story for another day. He was into, it was interesting, but that's in the past. So.
And before anybody else jumps in, unless they want to, I want to add an addendum to why I am like that. It's because I used to like what I used to call the trifecta days. I used to like to go dancing, go to the movies, and have something to eat. After a few days like that, which cost me a little bit of money, and I found that the women did not appreciate it. One woman in particular, when I had asked her, when I went to a particular restaurant, she was going up to get herself a salad from the buffet. I said, can you get me a salad as well? She turns around. She wasn't obnoxious, but she says in a matter-of-factly, like, oh, I can't do that because I've been working all day. And she was a secretary.
What?
And she was a secretary. She worked in an office. All right? As soon as we finished dinner, I took her home. I didn't finish the other part of the trifecta. Didn't talk to her all the way home. Didn't talk to her when she said goodbye. And from that time on, all Dutch.
You didn't put your hand on her leg, Joe?
On that one? Shit.
Watch your mouth.
Well, you brought back a traumatic, surprising experience.
Oh, sorry.
That was
traumatic. Yes, indeed.
Okay,
because you think about it, he could have been really interested in her, and she demonstrated, unfortunately, who she was, even if it was unconscious, because she had a job, just like he does. She felt that that's all she's supposed to do. Or once they got together, her expectation was for him to take care of her, and for she would be able to stay at home. But that conversation never took place because, again, this is just the beginning of the interaction between the two. Even though I'm going too deep,
No, you're not going too deep. It was the first date, and here she is, as we all talked about, the representative. She's giving her best foot that way. I'm saying if she's showing a representative this early, which isn't that good, I can only imagine what the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde part is going to be.
Hope she had on flat shoes, because if she had on high heels, that heel could have choked her. But she's showing up with a foot in the mouth.
She didn't even know. Probably to this day, she doesn't know what went wrong.
Why you say that? Why you say you didn't know what went wrong?
Because I didn't talk to her the whole time. I didn't explain to her. I never took her out again. She probably figures, he's just one of these men from a patriarchal system. He doesn't know what he's got when he had me, and went on to continue having that same mindset. So she probably didn't, to her, who cares?
Next episode, Where Are They Now? Coming to a theater near you.
Short stories. Go ahead.
No,
go
somebody
ahead.
Else is on,
Reverend
right?
Ron.
No, I was saying
that
was that,
something.
No, I was saying that was a klismic. I would say that was a klismic. P-L-Y-S-M-I-C. It was a klismic moment.
Oh, okay.
Because she didn't even show an ounce of concern or consideration. It was klismic for Joe as well as it was for her.
And the thing is, she didn't even talk to him to find out, are you okay? Is it something?
Right,
you got to do something?
Right. right,
you know,
right.
Why aren't we speaking, right, type of thing. So she just was in it for a free
meal. Well, she asked on the ride back, but at the table,
okay,
nah. You know, but on the ride back,
okay,
it was like she wasn't there. Dropped her off, goodbye, I had a nice time. Didn't even respond to that. You know, if you had a nice time, in my mind, cool, fine, get lost.
Well, go down. Did you think you should have, I mean, now that it's gone and over with and you think back, do you think that you could have opened the eyes of her understanding in some kind of way?
I could have and should have talked to her about it, but I don't think I would have opened up her eyes, but I should have talked to her about it to find out how come, why, and I, because I'm not as diplomatic as I'd like to be at times, but if I were to be the diplomatic person, I would like to ask her, why would you not, you know, give me the, you know, you're going up there anyway, how come, to find out why, but...
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Something that simple, if you can't do something that simple and I have to use psychiatric techniques to try to get something out of you, at that time, I'm thinking, not worth my effort.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
Especially when it's the getting to know each other phase.
Right, right.
Man, you got to know her real quick. I don't like what I'm seeing, so you're good. Thank you very much for your time. You won't be seeing me again. Erase my number out the phone.
Indeed.
Okay. Next question for those who want to answer.
Who else is on?
For Reverend Ron.
We got somebody's on from
King
Cali,
Joe.
You said?
He dropped off. Craig from California.
Oh.
You remember the gentleman that was in prison?
Oh, okay.
You remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, he
dropped
out.
Oh, that dude.
He dropped out.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, next question.
He
I apologize.
That's okay. So we have Joe.
He's on.
Key's on. No, I was just, she answered first, I believe.
Yeah, I'll just
speak up for yourself, Keith.
She's not feeling good. She took
some
medicine
and
she's not feeling good. So
she's
here
with
us.
What's wrong
with
Keith?
Right.
She's here. She'll speak up when the time comes.
Hope you feel better, miss. Hope you feel better, Empress.
Oh, thank you. I'm still here, but thank you.
Okay.
Oh, you had enough strength when you wanted to respond to me. So...
Because you're telling the story all wrong.
Because I was what?
Telling the story all wrong.
Oh, I was? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes, because you were saying that we were, like, being insulting and angry, and that wasn't the case. Every time he said something, you agreed. And then if a question was asked of him that he didn't want to answer, it was like, now we're throwing insults. And then he freely...
Oh. Last
was
week.
Talking about
yeah.
other people's mm-hmm. views being distorted, like his views were the gospel truth. And even when it was said, I'll agree to disagree with you, he still wanted to be attacking, and you didn't say anything. But when
he never,
I say me,
he never. Sorry, go ahead.
Me and Dustin were like, no, no, no. Then it was we were insulting him and being all angry, and that was not the case.
I never said anybody was insulting towards him. I did say people were angry at him. And I also said that I never don't disagree with what he said or how he said it. And he never attacked anybody. He just plainly said,
oh, yes, he did. He was very combative. He was very combative because when B was getting ready to say something, he put out a disclaimer that he knows what passive-aggressive behavior is.
Yeah, but they did back. They went back and forth on that too. The thing is this: is that
justification again, Joe?
He said.
He
said, and people are interrupting. He said, "Whatever is it that I've said wrong?" Nobody addressed that. They just went back to saying that he was wrong about his ideas about women in general.
Nobody told him he was wrong. It was said, you have your opinion, I have mine, multiple times. It was said several times, I'll agree to disagree, you have your opinion, I have mine, and that he didn't let that ride. He wanted to push his views and his beliefs that you co-sign and not everybody else agrees. That's how that went.
And Dustin when the guy brought up about expiration date, Dustin went on about and misinterpreted what he was talking about, even though he had explained himself. And Dustin still believed that he was insulting women in general by thinking that because women were creatures from God Almighty, that nobody, since they're women, did not have an expiration date. And if women did have an expiration date, so did men. And he had to explain himself again, and I had to explain it, is that it was about the market value of women having an expiration date.
Okay, well,
he also
told the man his views were distorted. So I don't know how else to make that clear.
You believe his views were distorted.
Hold on. Rich, are you with us this evening? Rich or Mr. Solution?
I think he likes playing devil's advocate. He must be a Gemini, because Geminis will start some drama and then sit back and laugh at people as they interact about their, because just like how we were emphasizing that women, everything that comes into this physical, I was the one who said it. Women, feminine energy brings all things into this physical realm. And then he said, that's not necessarily so. I don't know if that got by anybody, but I didn't want to go into it with him, but that probably would have been about an hour conversation with him ranting. But I don't know of anything in this environment that didn't come from the womb of a woman or from a feminine tree or from a female animal. Not that we need to entertain that, but I'm just saying. It wasn't interesting. It was ludicrous, as Mike Tyson would say.
No. Tyson would go, ludicrous. Okay, not ludicrous.
Oh, my
well,
God.
Well, he's been known
okay,
to pop up
question.
On people. That's why I wasn't going to say that. Yes, next question, Doc. I apologize.
I don't
want
question.
That uppercut.
No, because I'll give it to you. Okay, this question is being posed. What is your worst fear in a relationship? Reverend Ron, because most of us have answered this question.
Well, now, I try to stay away from fear, because fear has torments, right? Now,
okay.
If I'm a skeptic about some things, then I'll ask questions about it. Now, sometimes my thinking is not all the time right what I'm feeling, but then when I ask the question, and the woman says to me, "Well, why you go there?" And I explain to her why I went there because of her actions.
Mm-hmm.
And she still say, well, I don't want to talk about it. Well, you're disrespecting me.
Mm.
You're disrespecting me because I'm asking you something that's bothering me that's coming from your actions. And if you tell me, say, get over it, then I'm gonna have to say to you, I will get over it. But I want to have a oneness with you continuously. But if you can't resolve some things that are so important to me that is bothering
right.
me, then you're telling me that you actually don't really care how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to I can't put perfection on a person with an imperfect mind.
Right.
I can't make her
be the perfect woman. I have to cultivate her and educate her into that. Because if I'm fearful of anything in her, then I ain't married.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I be her friend, and I help her get over some things, possibly. We'll move along. But if she don't want to participate, or if I'm fearful of something, I ask her about it, and it's bothering mm-hmm. me or hurting me inwardly, and she don't want to change that piece, well, she ain't the right one.
Okay. Anybody want to give their answer as to who has answered before as far as what is your worst fear in a relationship? I'm going to start with the ladies in the house. Keith?
Well, I'd say maybe not in an entirely contextual sense, but just wasting my time. I would hate to be invested in know or learn that I wasted a bunch of time because time you can't
right.
get back.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
That's
Joe?
Why the powerful questions are so important. Oh, go ahead, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm going to wait after you because I usually talk longer than you do.
At least you're honest about it.
Yeah, something else.
Go
ahead.
Yeah. That's why I emphasize so much on conversation because it's dangerous to assume, you know, just because when you're having a good conversation and you're conversing mm-hmm. and she's making eye contact with you. If your intuition is not strong enough, I mean, it's sometimes it's really hard to tell what another individual is thinking anyway. So you really have to watch those subtleties and things of that nature. But overall, the conversation is very important. The interaction, you know, really demonstrates sometimes who they are. Sometimes, I mean, it's very important to listen. You know, because if you
mm-hmm.
listen intently, quiet enough, people will tell you who they are.
Oh, certainly.
And their expectation.
Right.
So after a few dates, you put on a table that you are interested, you know. You see how it goes from there. Because then you could go into those non-negotiables and, you know, what are their interests and their expectations.
Right.
So as far as fears, no, I like facing my fear, especially when it comes to interacting with people.
Right.
You know, and significant mm-hmm. others, you know, because again, almost everything is a contract. Just to be friends, you know,
mm-hmm.
with no benefits, it's still a contract. So you need to know who I am just as well as I need to know who you are.
Okay. Thank you. Joe's answer.
Coming to the
scene. Anybody else want to? Anybody else?
Yeah, it's yeah. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I have a real apprehension. I have a real apprehension about this, and it's about.
Okay.
I've mentioned this before. Is that after having gotten to know her and thought that I knew her, thought that she knew me,
mm-hmm.
uh-huh.
and everything is good. We've gotten over the humps. Rush past the obstacles, okay?
Okay.
But now everything is going well.
Uh-huh.
Now, subtly and not so subtly, and picking up, personality changes, mindset changes, maybe little conflicts coming up. In other words, everything is going well, and that's the time that her trauma kicks in. And she says, things are going so well, it's too good to be true, let me out of here. So that's what I'm apprehensive about, okay? Anything else doesn't bother me. Because like I said one time before, I can handle a bitch. But a person who treats me well, I can't say that on your show, sorry. Okay. Treats me well, earns my confidence over the course of time, makes me love her because I believe in her, trust in her. She does for me what I want this perfect woman to be, either because I've molded her or because she came somewhat prefabricated. And now everything is swimming. Everything is nice. And then suddenly, subtle changes, you know, and I'm going, oh, no, not again. And that's my apprehension about the deep, committed relationship with somebody. I'm done.
Okay. And my worst fear in a relationship was losing my partner that I've loved for so long. That's my worst fear. And then having to basically start all over. That's what was my worst fear. That's what I had is my worst fear. And we have a new
starting a relationship?
No. It's just in the whole relationship. I mean, you could even, you know, have met somebody, you know, 2 months or whatever, and they, you know, you're just getting to know them, and then, you know that you really like this person, and all of a sudden something happens to them. You know, just losing that person, it doesn't matter. Just, you know, just death, I guess. Just death. I'm not afraid of death, but I'm... But it's still a fear. No matter how you go and look at it.
Let me get this straight, Inez. Let's say, for example, you've met somebody a year later. You have fallen in love with him, and he's fallen in love with you.
Yeah.
Your major fear is that death might happen to him. So anybody that you might fall in love with, you have this fear that death might happen.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I just want to get clarified on that.
But not by your hand, right?
Correct. Not by my hand. I just don't like losing anybody. Death doesn't bother me, but I just don't like losing people who I love.
I think that with that, Sister Inez, I can concur with you. But then on the other hand, if that person was mature spiritually, and I know that they were mature spiritually by their actions, by their ways, if that person should happen to be called from the earth by the Creator, it don't stop me from loving them. It don't stop them from loving me. Now, physically, yes, but the relationship takes on another spiritual intellect. All right? We don't have to learn that everybody got something that they're praying for or either a flaw about them.
Okay.
Everybody.
Now,
do I give my good woman who's been good to me up because she makes a mistake? No, I wouldn't do that. But I would tell her about her mistake, but then if she didn't want to hear it or wasn't willing to change it, then that's when the contemplating of losing her possibly would cross my mind. But I wouldn't let it scare me because I gave her an opportunity to change. Now, I would be guilty if I didn't give her an opportunity, if I didn't correspond behind her action and just let everything flow in the name of she's a woman, I love her, and I don't want to lose her. Well, if you don't tell her what's right, you're going to lose her anyway. If she can't stand to be told what's right, you can't fear of telling a person about inadequate actions. You got to tell them because they might be thinking, like Eddie said, they might have been pampered by a dude or a guy that didn't want to lose them,
didn't say nothing because of that fear. Well, I ain't operating in fear, not with no committed relationship. You got to do the right thing as well as you want me to do the right thing. So if I'm doing, if I'm doing something that's not right or you're not pleased with it, and you tell me about it, and you tell me in a way that you don't disrespect me or, you know, belittle me, then it's going to make me look at myself.
Okay.
And I'm going to say to myself, 9 times out of 10, because I agree with the spirit of truth, I'm going to say, well, okay, within I'll have a conversation within myself and truth. Okay, this woman is telling me how she feels, and her actions up until this point have been that she have tried to love me in spite of me, but it has come to that point where she needs whatever I'm doing to her to cease. So then it's my responsibility to allow the spirit of truth to say, you know that ain't right, the way you're treating her. You know you're not doing the right thing. And it's my responsibility to listen at the spirit of truth and have enough righteousness in me to say to her, look, you've been kind to me, you've been nice to me. I'm wrong for the way that I've been treating you.
Now,
9 times out of 10, I'm going to win her over, because that was the one thing that she was desiring. For me to make up in my mind I wasn't going to do it no more and act upon my decision of not doing that thing no more. I yield.
Okay. That was useful. That was useful information. But everybody handles fear in different ways. But, okay. I'll go for that. Okay. Okay. Let's talk about that.
Weren't you going to introduce a new caller, honey?
Oh, that's right. Thank you. That's what I was doing. I got 52 million different things I was doing. They hung up. I was looking to see where they were calling from. They hung up. Thank you. Okay. So next question. So what brings
what
you
was that area code?
What brings you 225.
Huh?
225.
Oh, that's somebody in Louisiana.
Okay.
Okay.
So I was getting ready, I was looking, and then I got side whacked by something else. Okay, so what brings you joy in a relationship? Let them run, since most of us have answered these questions. And you've neglected us. No, I'm just messing. You weren't here, so we want to get your take on these questions. And anybody
what
else
bring me
who would like to answer?
What brings me joy in my
what
relationship?
In our relationship, yes.
When my wife or my woman give me money.
Give you money?
Yeah, right. Get out of here, will you? Get out of here.
That sounds like it gives everybody joy. And somebody
nah.
Gives that's so funny.
Hey, Eddie, what do you think about that?
What was that? I kind of missed it. What happened?
The question was.
Everybody laughing. Go ahead.
No. Tell Eddie the question again.
The question was, what brings you joy in a relationship? And Reverend Ron's answer was, Reverend Ron.
When my spouse or my mate give me money.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
That gave everybody a chuckle.
And it didn't come out of my pocket.
There you go.
Yeah, that has to be the second part.
Yes, indeed. Because I have been around some gangster. I have been around some clever, funny gangster women in my life. Yes, I have.
That's the hardest thing. That's the hardest thing for a man to get out of a woman.
Depends on the woman. It depends on the woman, because if she makes more than he does, she's going to give him an allowance. Am I not right?
No.
It ain't necessarily so.
I'm asking the question. Hold on.
Where are you from, one person at a time.
One person. I mean, because, say, for instance, you're a stay-at-home dad, okay? Would you give your husband money? I'm just asking as a stay-at-home dad. Because I got a people across the street. He's the stay-at-home dad. I'm sure she gives him money.
But, no, I'm saying. Now, it's not. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking predicated on the amount of money that she makes. But I'm talking about the love she has for me. She willingly gives me money and say, here, baby, this is for you.
Mm-hmm.
She comes in, both of us working, and we make about the equal amount of money, say for instance.
Okay.
Like I'm happy giving her money to make her happy. Mm-hmm. And I want her to be happy giving me money to make me happy.
Okay.
And when she does that, she almost becomes 50% of that perfect woman.
Mm. Okay.
So she give you the money and she only at 50%.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, because the money ain't all of it. The money is part of it.
Go ahead.
Huh? No, I was
still got to train that woman to give you the other 50% of whatever you need.
Exactly.
Can I say something right quick?
No. Because of what he just said, he says, in his mind, he's always talking about the perfect woman. He has, met her. And he talks about training her and teaching her. And so,
right on.
Do you teach her how to love you and to give you things?
Well, that curved to another piece. You were saying what makes me happy. What brings me, right? And I said, if she gives me money. And then I said, 50% of her being the perfect woman. So she got it beat already. The other 50 is her compassion and affection. Kiss me when I walk in the door. Kiss me sometime when you walk past me in the house. Touch me. Put your hand on my shoulder. Put your hand on my forehead. Maybe blindfold me every now and then and kiss me on the ear.
Mm.
You understand?
Holy Ghost.
I come home. You got some beautiful lingerie on. I come home. You got a meal cooked. You got the candles rolling. You already got 50% beat because you don't mind giving me money. So the other part is just you being a good woman. That's 100%.
Okay.
Perfect.
Okay. So that's the perfect woman in your mind.
Well, love God with all your heart first. Then those other two things, that's it.
Okay. I'm just clarifying, verifying. Y'all hear that, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm, I heard
that. Can I say what I want to say now? Go ahead, Kia. I apologize. I'll wait.
No, you can wait. I was just throwing it in there. I'm sorry.
She was just being...
Mm-mm.
facetious. She was being facetious. Go ahead, Eddie.
What homeboy's name was the answer? That would have been a nice exchange because, you know, what Rev just...
Solution. The solution.
That he was talking about.
He's on. I believe he's on the line, but he's not saying anything. Adele, is Rich still with us?
He's not here. And never mind. I'm gonna leave that alone.
No,
that was real interesting.
No, I believe he's listening, but he's not saying anything. If that is who I think it is.
Hello.
Mr. Solution?
Okay, there you go. No, my phone, my headset dropped.
Okay.
So what did you say?
I was asking him if he'd like to say anything, if that is him on the line. Because there's a person out there, 111-111-111, and that was the same number that he came up with last time, and I'm just wondering who that would be.
Oh.
And they're not saying anything, so they're just yielding, hopefully. Joe?
When you said his number, I thought he called in on a number that you recognized. If it's 11111 and he hasn't jumped in, let me tell you, that's not him. Because he would have been here by
that
now.
Was him. No, that was him last time. That's what I'm saying. That's the number he called.
I know. His number,
right. Last time. Mm-hmm.
I know. But there are people, mm-hmm. like, when I call in the shows at times, I use a block number as well. So what I'm saying is that
okay.
all block numbers come to different people.
Okay.
So I thought when
okay.
you said he was on the line that you read a number, a specific number from him and recognized it.
No.
And I'm saying
mm-mm.
if it's 111 and that person who owns 111 hasn't jumped in, I can tell you it's not because he would have been here by now. He would have been
okay.
He would have been back and forth already. Hey, hey, hey. So,
and that's why, okay.
Yeah, so the answer to that question, what brings joy to my life, is if I fully,
mm-hmm.
fully trusted her and believed that particular trauma or whatever the reason might be for her to feel that it's just too good to be true, if that doesn't show its ugly face.
Hey.
If we're going along smoothly and
mm-hmm.
no signs of it deteriorating, that's my joy, and I just might think I've got the right one.
Okay. 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 All right.
Well,
number
I would
18.
Say Unity.
Go ahead, Unity. Okay.
Yes, because, I mean, peace is very important to me.
Okay. Okay. Mm.
Ain't a pretty picture.
That's what she said. That's what she said last time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because peace seems to me, peace is universal. I mean, if we all found
mm-hmm.
the peace that we've envisioned, wouldn't we be
mm-hmm.
one bunch of happy campers?
It would be. It would be. We'd be, you know, that's almost like I had asked, you know, what would you consider the perfect day or date? And a peaceful day would be the perfect one. So, you know, just peace, unity, you know, puppy dogs and flowers. And unicorns, I think that's what B said last time. Something, I don't know, something funky. She said that was funny.
Butterflies.
Okay. So, the next one. If you could change any physical feature about yourself, what would it be? Never know.
If I could change any feature
mm-hmm.
about me?
Physical feature about yourself. What would it be?
You say physical feature?
Yes.
Is that what you said?
Yes.
I probably would change my habits of not staying in the best physical shape.
Okay.
What I think is the best physical shape.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else want a comment?
I'd probably say my legs. I just think I have, like, really little legs. And I tell my sister and, like, my nieces, their legs are, like, really proportioned to them. And it's, like, not too big, not too little. And mine are just, I think they're just little. So I probably proportion out my legs. But, I mean, I naturally have a small frame, so I'm like, oh.
Yes, you do. Very, very small. Okay. All right. Eddie?
I've been slim all of my life since I've been. It don't matter how much I eat or what I eat. So I'd like to experience being a bit heavier.
Okay.
Maybe like 200 pounds. 190.
Okay.
Well, how tall are you, Eddie? Sorry.
6'1".
No, as Eddie, I was saying, how tall are you?
6'1".
He said 6'1".
Oh, okay.
It's taller than me. All right, Joe? Joe?
I answered that.
He's still pondering.
I answered that last week, and I'm not going over my material defects again. Nobody listened?
Okay,
good.
No. No. No, Reverend Ron wasn't on the Reverend Ron wasn't on the line. That's why I was just going to bring him up to date. That's all. Because he wasn't on the line. That's all.
That's
just,
okay. That's
all
right.
So, okay. He's so funny. Okay. I like to be a whole 5'3", I think, instead of just 5'2.5 3/4". So I like to be 5'3" or 5'4". I'd be happy. I don't have to be very tall. Just flat. But I'm okay with what I am, I suppose. Okay. If you had the opportunity to have your mate be like your mother or your father, which one would it be and why? I'm going to start with Joe.
I thought that was going to be for Ron. That was a question they asked last week.
Ladies and gentlemen, not coming to the stage. Not coming to the stage.
That's right. I exited stage left a long time ago.
Excellent.
The president has left the building, ladies and gentlemen. The president has left the
building. Never really in the building. You're right.
Why would you why don't you answer, Joe?
Well, okay, if you want
me
to answer,
why don't you
answer
that,
man? I'll answer. Huh? Oh, that's right. Ron wasn't born here last week. So, all right.
I think his mom used to beat him.
No.
He loved his mom, but she used to beat him, and he don't want a woman that might beat him.
Nah,
the mom
I want
used
a woman to
beat
me.
Joseph.
That's right. She beat me every day, and I loved it. So to answer the question for Ron, I wouldn't want her to have. There wasn't anything materially that was significant about either my mother or my father that I would like to have seen. And any chick that I dated, or any woman that I might fall in love with, so I would just say just for them to be themselves. Why? Is he laughing at me again?
Jesus. Rev is on the floor, Joe. Rev is on the floor.
I know. He sounds like it. You go first, Joe, so I can laugh. like I said, nothing about within a romantic context, nothing about any of the qualities of my mother and my father that I would like to see, in a potential mate.
Okay.
No, and yeah, and I would want to see them in a and a friend and a I wouldn't want to see them in a platonic relationship. No.
Okay.
You know, they were two characters. They were two special people. And
okay.
The qualities that they had were unique within them, should stay within them. And I don't want to see them anyplace else.
That's funny. That's a good one. You got him good, Joe. He can't even stop laughing. Okay, Eddie, your turn. And the question was, if you had the opportunity to have your mate be like your mother or your father, which one would it be and why?
Can it be a mixture of both? Because my mother was firm. Mm-hmm. She had a mm-hmm. firm and unique way of saying things. She actually ran okay. away a few of my lady friends because they couldn't understand. But she would always say, in conversation, don't judge or don't be bothered by how I say things. Just listen to what I'm saying.
Okay.
She was an Aries.
Okay.
An Aries 6. So she was,
my mother was Aries.
Firm. She had a good sense of humor. She was very mm-hmm. loving, but mm-hmm. most of the time she was firm, and sometimes people would think that she was more firm than she was at that time, but she definitely mm-hmm. wasn't
okay.
no pushover. My mm-hmm. father
no, Aries or not.
Was, yeah, my father was a Sag, and he was very okay. laid back, loved having a good time, you know, jovial sense of humor and demeanor. But mm-hmm. if you cross him, even if it takes 50 years for him to get his subtle, fiery revenge, he would do it. He'd wait mm-hmm. patiently. You
okay.
know? So that I didn't care for. But his personality, you know, and how he, you know, always spoke his truth. I like that. I love that about my father
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and my mother. So being that it's me, I could have basically either or, but that streak of patient vengeance, no, that's not a good thing. So I guess, you know, because I'm just saying, if I do something that upsets mm-hmm. you and I don't acknowledge that I upset you, you know, now if I do it purposely, and I will let it be known that I'm doing something purposely, you know, after the lesson
okay.
is learned, that's one thing, mm-hmm. but, you know, accidentally leaving the toilet seat up on a Wednesday or whatever the case may be.
Oh, my goodness.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Something like that mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever.
Mm.
So I'd say my mom.
Okay. Okay. Keith?
I would say my dad. My dad is my first love, and
mm-hmm.
the thing that the reason why I said that is because my dad, he wasn't afraid to love. He wasn't afraid to be vulnerable. He made sure you understood respect. How to give it and receive it and demand it. He had really good ethics. Family was really important.
Mm-hmm.
He communicates really well, has a really good sense of humor, and he'll call you on your BS and then still tell you he love you, but he's not going to let you just let things slide. And witnessing him in action, like in his relationship,
mm-hmm.
his actions support everything he's ever said. So he's really, really consistent. So I would want my partner to have the qualities that my dad have.
Okay. 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 Who has an answer? Reverend Ron.
Well, to begin with, I wouldn't want my wife to be my mother. I wouldn't
okay.
want my wife to be like my daddy, because they were great people. And I have a sweet memory of them.
Okay.
But I wouldn't want my wife to be like my mother, because the Bible says they two became one.
Mm-hmm.
So if she comes in my life being like my mother, I won't get to know who she is. Now, that doesn't mean some of the same qualities that my mother have she may display.
Okay.
But I couldn't look at my wife like I look at my mother. I certainly couldn't look at my wife like I look at my dad. I wouldn't even want to, because it would make her too masculine. My daddy was a masculine man. So I wouldn't want
okay.
my wife to be like my daddy. I wouldn't want her to be like my mother, because my mother reared me in a way that a mother would rear her child. So I wouldn't want my wife to try to rear me up. I would want her to agree with me. So she would have to be who she is and
mm-hmm.
would have to get to know me. And let us work from there with the help of God.
Okay. Everybody answer who wants to answer? Thank you very much for those answers.
Your turn, dog.
You didn't answer, honey.
It's my turn. Okay. My mother too was an Aries, and so as Eddie so quaintly stated, you know, the characteristics of Aries. My mother, I like for my partner to have the love of my mother and my father towards me, and show me respect, show me love. Show me discipline. Show me, you know, how to be treated properly, correctly, and right. So just the discipline of my mother and father. Like Keith said, her father was her first love. My dad still is my love. I mean, he used to come home, and he used to get greeted with peanut butter kisses, but with a spoon. I'd run it down his face. I used to have a spoon full of peanut butter and reading with a spoonful of peanut butter, but yep. So just the characteristics of my mother and father, so that not Reverend Ron, like he said, not manly, you know, or anything, but just, you know, respect me as a person. That's what I like, just that respect. And share the love and joy of my life and their life. That's what I would do. So simple.
Beautiful.
Cool.
Could you read that question again, please? Just
mm-hmm.
one more time.
If you had the opportunity to have your mate be like your mother or your father, which one would it be and why?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Next one. Okay. You talked about eating, was he? I didn't ask him about eating. Oh, how important is healthy eating to you, Reverend Ron?
Very important. so much so until I've changed my eating habits.
Good.
I used to eat 3 times a day, but now
mm-hmm.
I only eat 2 times a day. If that.
Mm-hmm. That's not
now,
good.
Why did I,
okay.
Well, I drink a lot of water with it.
Mm-hmm.
I found out that if I overload my system, it's going to blow me up.
and I know, and I know this.
Mm-hmm.
So it keep from being overweight with the work that I
mm-hmm.
do in these conferences, walking all the time. You know, you can't be too heavy. There's some heavy people in this business, but they're not
mm-hmm.
comfortable. And I know when I'm physically overweight, I'm not comfortable because it plays a part on my feet and my legs. So to keep
okay.
myself in good condition, because we walk down sometime in these places, long hallways, big ballrooms.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is to keep myself in good physical condition. Well, then I stop eating 3 times a day because sometimes when I'm at home, I eat at night because I get in late, right?
Okay.
Well,
okay.
if I eat at night and I lay down, you know what I mean, then that means that I'm going to pick up some pounds. And then it becomes a problem with my wardrobe. It becomes
mm-hmm.
a problem again. You know, when you're overweight and you're not used to being overweight, it attacks your feet and your
mm-hmm.
legs. So to keep that from happening, I stay a certain size. And my eating habits had to change
mm-hmm.
for that to happen. So it's very important.
Okay. Anybody else want to share their answers for what we
I didn't hear the
we talked about? Oh,
I didn't hear
how
the
important. Mm-hmm, how important is healthy eating for you?
Well, I think it's essential. Food plays a really big part in like health and well-being, even your mental state. I think it's really essential. Good practices and such.
Okay.
I'm trying to live as long as I can.
I know, huh? Eddie? So funny.
Yeah, what Keith said is spot on. I mean, you know, it's definitely, but eating is definitely consumption just like your other senses, you know, sight,
mm-hmm.
hearing, touch, taste. Everything is consumption in this physical realm. So, yeah,
okay.
you definitely need a guard at the entrances to all of your consciousnesses because, not healthy, you know. You bring into a realm where it's supposed to be
mm-hmm.
peaceful and tranquil.
Mm-hmm.
That's another reason why, you know, I don't like to eat out a lot of places because if the chef is angry, then you're eating angry food.
Mm. Okay. I can understand what you're saying. And what my answer was, how important is healthy eating to you? And I talked about feeding the mind,
mm-hmm.
feeding the soul, feeding
mm-hmm.
the spirit. So it's not just eating,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, also feeding your other, senses, I guess you could say, making sure that they are healthy. Make sure that they
mm-hmm.
are well-fed, you know, educating your mind, your brain, you know, keeping up with education and so on and so forth. So how important is healthy eating? Eating could be different things. You can eat in different ways. You can commune, I guess you can say, in different ways. So that's how I would, that's how I answer that one. That's how I answer that one. Mm-hmm. Cool. Everybody good? Joe dropped off, so I don't know if he's going to call back in.
Come on, Joe.
Mm-hmm. No, he dropped off, so I don't know if he's going to call back in. So.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, he also, excuse me?
No, I was... Disregard that, please.
Okay. All right. And also, Rev, We ask, what would you consider a perfect day or date? We have some good answers for that one.
You said a perfect day or a perfect date?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. With your mate, with the person you're in a relationship with. Mm-hmm.
A perfect day is when we can have peace and joy and love continuously within the 24-hour span of the day, with no discrepancies at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody else like to elaborate on that?
Well, a perfect day for me would be something in nature. Preferably would be my first choice. Art would be my second choice. For a date, I would say if there was laughter and I don't know, optimism maybe. Like to the point of you just know it's automatically going to turn into a relationship. I mean, you can build a solid relationship with a person on a platonic level. But I think if there's laughter and contentment and you're able to enjoy the time spent with the person, would
right.
be the perfect.
Right.
Okay.
I agree with that.
Okay. Anybody else like to comment? Me too.
Yes, beautiful picture. Ain't a pretty picture indeed.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, all right. If your partner was lying on their deathbed, and if you could change places with them, would you?
Say that again. Repeat that, please.
Mm-hmm. If your partner was lying on their deathbed, and if you could change places with them, would you? Whoever wants to go first.
I don't know. Y'all get quiet on me.
I'm not.
Look at everybody. Well, they spoke at the same time.
I don't know if I would necessarily want to trade places. I know that I would want to take the experience away from them if I could.
Mm-hmm.
I guess because I would be selfish and not wanting them to go. I would want to continue on a journey together. But I think if I were like really, really connected with the person, I would probably expect to go maybe at the same time or shortly after. I don't think I could handle the sadness.
Or being alone?
No, not being alone.
No, being without that person.
With the person I was the most connected. You know, kind of like Ruby Dee and Ozzy Davis. And like some other people. I have an acquaintance of mine whose aunt that I was fairly close to. And when she passed, her husband died like 2 days later because he was just like really sad. So, I mean, I know it's kind of scary to think about, but I think it's a beautiful thing in its way.
Okay. Anybody else want to answer that?
Well, I wouldn't want to trade places with them, no. Because actually, I couldn't trade places with them. Unless I committed some act which would be displeasing with God. I wouldn't want to trade places with them, especially if I knew they were right with God and right with me. I wouldn't want to trade places with them because it would be wrong for me to want to die when it's not my time to die.
Okay. Okay.
Now, yeah, maybe there'll be memories. There'll be memories, and then it might be like we threw.
We threw. Okay, we threw. Okay.
That's an interesting concept.
I know. It's like, okay. We threw. It's just like nothing else can be done. We just threw. Okay. All right. Eddie?
Well, I definitely wouldn't want to see them suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And but no, I wouldn't want to take their place, take her place, you know, because we all have a, you know, set time on certain levels, and you know, some could say or would say it depends on what was the reason of what caused the injury.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know, but no, I wouldn't. And vice versa. I definitely want to throw that in the equation also.
I mean, because a lot of times people, you know how you people see people, you know, I would trade places with you if I could, blah, 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 so on and so forth, you know.
Yeah, that's tough.
May have cancer, you know. And, I mean, you know, we say that now with a clear head, but once you see someone going through the torment or what have you, you'd want to be, you know, like, man, if I could just trade places with you, I would, you know, because you know that's just a normal and humanly answer for that, because you don't like to see your loved one going through that pain by themselves because you're not experiencing them. All you can see is what they're going through. And so, and like, you know, was just said, you know, we all have our time and date. We don't know what it is, but that's what our time and date. And if we change the time and date we think we're supposed to go, then that's going to change things in the world, you know, type of thing. So everything has its place in the world. Everything has its time, and everything has, you know, God has our day. So, you know, it's only a normal and natural thing to say, I want to change places with you. You know, and the reason why I brought that up is because I watched the Today Show, and, you know, you see a lot of women going through cancer, and they go through chemo, and they, you know, their loved one watches them, you know, degenerate, is that the word?
Deteriorate.
And they just wish I could trade places. I wish I could trade places. But then would you really want to trade places?
No.
That's why I asked that question. I want to get the answer. I want to get the answer from the masses. So anybody else?
I'd like to
that
add
question?
Something to that also.
Okay.
I'd like to add something to that. There was, even though it was a comical skit, this lady, well, this woman, her husband passed, and she came to the funeral, ran
mm-hmm.
up on the casket talking about, no, God, don't take him, take me. Y'all seen that?
Mm-hmm. And then she gets into the casket, and he was...
No, she kept screaming and yelling, and then God appeared, and he said, okay, come on, let's go. And she said, huh? She said, come on, let's go. he said, you said you want to change places with her. So God woke up, you know, her husband, and he tried to grab her by the hand. When she said, no, he got to die then. I ain't going nowhere. She started beating on him. And then God grabbed her. He said, no, you prayed for it. I'm granting your wish. And she ran out the, she ran out the room.
Lord have mercy. And that's what I'm saying. People say that. Right. And that's what I'm saying. People say that until it actually happens. I know it was just, you know, comedy or what have you, but until it actually happens, then it's like, oh, cuss words. No, I ain't going nowhere. I'm standing right here on heaven. No way. No, I just thought that was the funniest thing. The funniest thing. The funniest thing so far. Okay. Everybody else,
and another thing about that, too, even though, just like what you're saying, you're being sympathetic towards their pain, but, you know, you're still going to cross over, and they're going to be here, so you're still going to be without that person.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I have to put it in perspective. It's like, okay. Next question. Did you answered, right, Key?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. If you had a deep, dark secret, would you tell your mate or take it to your grave? I'm going to start with Reverend Ron.
Well, Jesus said in the scripture,
well,
he said, let bygones be bygones.
Okay.
So it probably would go to the grave with me.
Okay. Okay. Keith?
Well, I think it would depend on two things, how deep and dark the secret was, and two, if I could trust my partner with it. Like I shared in, like, some sessions ago, I've been in a place, it wasn't like no deep, dark secret, but it was like some intense thing that I shared, and it got thrown back at me. So I've been really guarded about certain things because it had been my experience not to trust another person with it. So I think it would depend on those two things, whether I would or not.
Okay. Eddie?
No, I would not tell.
Okay. Me, if it's a secret, that's
reasons
what it's a secret.
Yeah. And some say a secret's not a secret until it's told, but once it's told, it's no longer a secret, right?
Right.
That part right there. That part right there.
See, because, you know, whatever walk you walk to bring you to who you are this day, if you're not that same person that you was when that incident, whatever it is, or the way you chose to walk in the past happened, you're no longer that person, so.
Right.
Ain't no need bringing that up.
No.
Okay, preacher man.
No. What have I said? Let me say this. If Jesus told us let bygones be bygones, there was a reason for him saying that. If I bring up something that my mate had nothing to do with, period, and if I were to tell her, and she started looking at me differently, I want to hold me at bay because of what I shared with her. Well, I put my own self in a snare with the words of my mouth. And remember the scripture, say, be not snared or entangled with the words of your mouth. And then he said, by the words of your mouth, you would snare yourself. So if I'm not practicing to snare me, then
whatever happened 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, it's gone with mm-hmm. 20 years ago.
Okay.
Now, it'll only have life if I give the memory life by talking about it.
Mm-hmm. But what if it's not your secret and it's too heavy to carry?
Well, I take it to Jesus. Remember he said, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. Now, I'm knowing that if it's too heavy for me to carry, then it's probably going to create conflict with someone else or make them look at me a certain kind of way.
Okay.
Start judging me or finger pointing, saying, oh, you ain't changed. You like you used to be. Or something of a sort of the judgmental piece. Whereas they wasn't involved with it until I told them. They weren't thinking about it until I told them. But if I give it to Jesus, then he said, cast your cares upon me for I care for you, then he going to erase
right.
the memory. And nobody will be hurt.
Okay.
And if going back to what Keith said, that was kind of interesting. If it's not your walk, and it's not something that you purposely did, then it's not your secret. If you know something that somebody
right.
did, and you were a ride along, it wasn't a full agreement. You didn't have full participation, then it's not your secret. Now, if it was something on any other means, then yeah, I can understand that. But I guess that's perspective also.
Okay.
I'll say something that I've been telling people for at least the last 30 years.
Okay.
In all situations, be it harmonious or disagreeable, you got to put it on that table and spin that table around, just like playing yourself in
Russian
a chess
roulette.
Game or a checker game. Huh?
A Russian roulette?
No, that's a gun. I ain't doing that. Mm-mm.
No, I mean, you know, Russian, the roulette table, you know, where you spin it and that's all.
Yeah. Okay, but when I think of Russian roulette, I think of a revolver, and you put a bullet in it and spin the thing that holds the bullet.
The
that's
chamber.
Not coming to mind right
the
now.
Chamber. Yeah.
The chamber.
Yeah, there you go. Right, and everybody takes a turn pulling the trigger to the head. I ain't doing that. That's what I was thinking about. You know, but yeah, okay.
Right.
If.
Mm-hmm.
So, because, you know, I mean, sometimes we don't know, just like simple friendships. You never know who an individual really is until they show themselves.
Right.
That's the
right.
saddest
really
thing of all.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the saddest thing of all, being in this physical realm, you know, or being too close to people and not realizing
or letting down your guard. Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes God will give you discernment within. The Spirit of Truth will reveal somebody that don't do your practice if you practice living the truth. If a person comes up with not truth on his mind or anything like that, the Spirit of Truth that you practice will say to you inwardly, something is wrong there.
And Reverend Ron just talked about that on Wednesday, engaging in the Spirit of Truth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I listened. I was there.
if we listen to the Spirit of Truth within, and we practice the truth, we won't go wrong.
That is correct.
Yeah, but
that is so correct.
Some people are, what's the word? I like to say enigmatic, but chameleons, Jekyll and Hyde, just like Doc says from time to time. But just like why, that's another reason why I emphasize on conversation. People jest and joke about a lot of things, but if they say certain things too much, they're basically subtly telling you, even if it's an unconscious act within them, who they are.
Right.
You know, and that discernment and trust in yourself and your spirit is definitely, definitely important.
Right, right. Good answer. All right. If you could only choose one, career or relationship, which one would you choose? Eddie?
Career or relationship? I say they're all basically the same. You know, if it's your intent to have a full life and all the things that you require in your life, a relationship is a career. You know, business is a career. Governing your estate is a career. You know, sharing yourself with another is a career. So I'd say career.
Okay. Okay. Sometimes your career is going to last longer than a relationship.
So it depends on what you choose to do. Sometimes it depends on what you do. J-O-B? That's in somebody else's hands, you know.
Right.
Just like renting, you know. Your landlord sells that property. You don't have a say in that. You're employed by a company. That happened to my cousin, as a matter of fact. A week before he was getting ready to retire, the corporate, the company that he worked for sold. He lost his pension.
That's ugly.
Yeah.
That is ugly.
Okay, go ahead, go around, because I'd like to hear what everybody else has to say. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Okay. Keith?
I wouldn't want to choose. Because anything I set my mind and my heart to, I'm going to do.
Okay.
I want the best of both worlds, and I wouldn't want to be in the position to have to choose.
Okay.
So I don't would.
Okay. He says she don't want to choose. You want the best of both worlds. You want to have a career and a relationship.
And both of them to be
Reverend
healthy.
Ross? And long lasting. Right?
Right.
I mean, why? We all have a purpose. Everything that we touch is connected to layers upon layers of things. I just wouldn't want
right.
to. I would refuse.
Okay. That's hey, you're entitled to what you want. You know what you want, and you voiced it. There's not a problem with it at all. Not a problem with it at all. Okay. Reverend Ron?
I would have to say my career. Now the reason why, I'm a widow.
Right. You know you're going to do this. You got some explaining to do, Lucy. You got some explaining to do.
I'm a widow.
so I could choose the career.
But okay, but I'm just saying. So if you weren't a widow, you know, if everything was all, you know, roses and you know, chocolates and stuff like that, what would you do?
I would choose my career, knowing the woman that I had. Because if you didn't work, she could easily end up hating you.
Okay.
If you getting a what?
She could end up hating you.
But you said something before that. What did you say before that, before you said she'd end up hating you?
Oh, I said that I'm a widow, so it would be my career.
Okay.
No, but he also said with the woman that he was with, if he didn't work,
she would either
there'd be right. There'd be complications.
Because she couldn't stand a man that didn't work.
Okay. Okay.
Come on, Doc.
Okay.
What say you?
I You could choose only one, career or relationship. Which one would you choose? They're both about the same to me.
Well, there is a difference.
You may have a career, you may have a career or a job or what have you, and you could get fired from it. You may be in a relationship and you get fired from it. So what are you left with? Isn't that the truth, though?
Well,
yeah.
It is.
Let me say, if you're in a relationship, if you're in a relationship and you're a man, the Bible says if a man didn't work, he shouldn't eat, right? So
okay.
I gotta eat for me to have nourishment to live. So if the Bible declared that if I didn't work, I shouldn't eat, then I got to keep a job. Because not only do I have to eat, but the woman that I'm with has to eat. And if we got children, if we got a house, if we got cars, it requires that I work to take care and maintain a relationship than it is to build one. So I would have to work. And then on the other hand, if she really won with me, she would want me not to work because my career takes care of us. I wouldn't be just working for me. I would be working for us. So I would have to say the job, because if I don't have it, then the God that I love tells me I shouldn't eat.
Okay. But if you could only choose one, are you choosing your career over a relationship?
Yeah. I would have to say I would choose my career because, again, the Bible says if a man didn't work, he shouldn't.
Okay, so is that career going to keep you warm at night? Is that career going to take you to the hospital when it's needed? Is that career going to keep you, take care of you? Is that career going to give you a family? No, I'm talking about, this is just, I know you're a widow now, but I'm just saying, if the circumstances were different, now you have a career because your loved one is no longer with you. But if it was, you had to choose between your loved one and a career, which one would you choose? And you said your career because of what's in the Bible.
Right. Because think about it.
if a man is with a woman and he don't have a job, I don't care how good intimacy is, after a while of good intimacy, then you're going to get a knock on the door. You're going to get a knock on the door.
You got to get
and
out.
And you say, who is it? And you say, who is it? And they say, burdens. And you say, what?
Who?
They say, burdens.
Burdens?
Yeah, okay. Burdens. Burdens because the bill collector's going to start. Light, water, and gas, and mortgage, car notes. So I got to have food. I got it. I got children, so they may need something.
Okay.
So it's not. It wouldn't be a self-centered thing. It would be just what the Lord required, so that I could take care and maintain the things in which I'm supposed to do as a man.
Okay. 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 Everybody answer?
So
yes,
you,
ma'am.
Did you answer?
Who wanted to answer?
She did. She, her answer almost mirrored yours.
Okay.
Or pretty much mirrored yours.
In essence. Okay.
Okay.
If you had
what
to choose between being a... Oh, I just got a whole bunch. 25. Number
okay.
25. We have a couple more. If you had to choose between being a workaholic and a stay-at-home parent, which one would you be?
I'd stay home.
Okay. Eddie, if you had to choose between being
a workaholic
and a stay-at-home parent,
Well, if I was to say stay at home, I'd be doing business from home, even if it's charter schools or some kind of franchise, mail order something. But I also like to stay busy, so I'd say workaholic.
Okay. So you could provide for your family?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And again, I believe in business, so, you know, basically make your own hours. Don't have to be brick and mortar. There's a lot of things that you can do. And conduct business from home. So,
yeah, but isn't the definition of a workaholic is like in excess? I mean, workaholics don't really have a work-life balance.
That's
I mean, you
true.
Could be busy at home, but I mean, by the definition, that it would be like in excess. I'm just asking.
Right. No, you're accurate, Key, but the reason why I'm saying what I'm saying is I feel that even though these are pertinent questions, they're not exactly specific, but even if they were, you equate your reality to your own desire and design, if you understand what I'm saying. So say I work 16 hours a day. I could work 8 hours out wherever, and I could work, you know, the other eight in the house. You know, so I'm still in the house. I'm still home. I understand what you're saying. You're not exactly present because you're still working, but that can consist of phone calls and, you know, handling orders on a computer, online, so to speak. I said on a computer. Ooh, I went way back.
That's fine.
I went back to the 80s.
Okay. To the mobile phone with the big old mobile brick.
Yeah.
The attaché box phone.
Yeah.
Dude, for real. The big old thing. open up the the case and dial. That's so funny. So did everybody answer?
Reverend Ron did.
Okay. Because you know he's gonna go to the Bible. So go ahead.
I would say I would have to do the work thing. Now, why would I say that? Because, as you know, my work is for the Lord. I can be a witness, and I can still make the wage a prevailing wage, where I can take care of my responsibility. Now, the reason why I say work, because if I got a wife and children, and the wife is the type of wife that she wants the best of everything, well, you're gonna have to work some excess to keep that thing going if your wage is not a prevailing wage. You're gonna have to keep if you go get the mansion and the mansion runs you $4,000 or $5,000 a month. But then you gotta have means to take care of the mansion, the bills on the mansion, the woman that lives in the mansion, the children that lives in the mansion, your bed in the mansion. You got to have money to do that. So that if you don't want to become a person that loses everything that you have, you're going to work as hard as you need to keep it. And God will give you strength to overcome the difficult times where you can have some rest and be at home. But then there may be a season where you have to be a workaholic just to maintain the things that you have.
Okay.
It's more better to maintain what you have than to have to fix what you have.
Okay. You had to choose between being a workaholic and a stay-at-home parent. Which one would you be? Stay-at-home.
Being a parent, full time job already.
Right.
Well, you gotta have a man that beat his working hard.
I would need the balance. I couldn't function like that. And then if you had the spouse that wasn't into maintaining the lifestyle or whatever, because what would be essential to the family would be having you present and not like gone all the time. So,
well,
hold on.
And you saying that, that's kind of why I put that question in there, because of the question that was asked last week, and I'll tell you what that question is. Go ahead, Keith.
No, I'm done. I was just saying, I mean, not all partners or family are focused on maintaining. They're more interested in, like, connection, the value of the family.
Right.
I mean, you do all that work, and then you come home, and your family gone. I mean, it causes a lot of problems.
Yeah, but if they leave because of work and take care of what they desire, they're going to leave anyway.
And you could say gone in more than one way. Your family could be grown up now. You know, you had children, and then you worked so much that they didn't even see that workaholic parent. So it's like, when did she get these things in front of her? When did she have a boyfriend? When did she do this? Or when did he, you know, become so good at basketball where you weren't around to see these things because you were working all the time? So, you know, that could be kind
of a problem. If she got everything she wants and she gets everything she asks for, then that man is going to provide those things for her because he loves her. Now, he has to be wise enough to tell her, look, baby, we got to enjoy the time that we have if we want to keep enjoying the lifestyle that the Lord has allowed us to have. So if you want all of this stuff and things,
then someone has to maintain it or we'll be fixing it. And that could mean mm-hmm. starting over.
Yeah, but that's if they're in that mindset of the material portion. If you have the mental mm-hmm. not, then that logic wouldn't apply.
Nope.
What key? I have experienced people getting off their jobs saying, I'm not going to work. I'm just going to stay home, and me and my wife is going to live in intimacy. You're going to get a knock on the door.
I mean, you can work, like Eddie said, from some business at home that don't require so much of your time being outside of your home. And that don't even have to be physically mm-hmm. outside the home. If you're home all day long and you still pulling 80 hours a week and life going on around you, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, the presence means more. Even if you have to alternate mm-hmm. roles, or that's why you have helpmates and partners to, like, pick up the slack. It doesn't require me being a workaholic. Your attention and your focus is outside. And then you have all these disruptions in marriage because the spouse feels lonely and not valued, or the kids feel like you're not paying attention. They start acting out. They become rebels, or they grow up too fast, or all these different things.
Mm-hmm.
I just think the balance should be there. I just don't think working 80-plus hours a week, even if you're providing all the material things, is going to keep your family mm-hmm. there. Now, they all materialistic, like, okay, well, I want a car at 14, and it's got to be a Mercedes. I mean, why are you going to kill yourself for something they need to learn to work for?
Right, exactly.
And then it's going to learn based on what they grow, the environment they grow up in, like, okay, well, I don't have to consider another person because I didn't have the person there to show me that I needed to do that. And then they up and gone, and they live their life, and eventually they forget about you because you weren't there to matter.
Well, it's the woman's fault. If she got a man working, right? Well, I should say it could be versatile on this. If the woman's got a man working, right, it's her duty mm-hmm. to tell those children and reel those children in love and persuade them to love their working daddy.
Mm-hmm.
It's her job. Yeah. She's her job. Let me finish. It's her job to teach those children, your daddy love you with all that's within him, and he's trying to provide for us. If mm-hmm. she does that, it's going to take away from the devil getting in those children's mind talking about your daddy don't love you. Now, the mama can't walk around the house depressed and sad. She got to be the catalyst in that home to make sure that she do all that she can do, and then encourage love to the children from their father because of his actions to provide for them. Now, everybody don't make the same wage, right? There are some people that make a prevailing wage, and there are some people that don't make a prevailing wage. So usually, mm-hmm. if the man is a good man, he prays and he asks God, Lord, increase my work, that I might be the provider, the husband and father that I'm supposed to be for my children and my wife. Well, if God increases those hours because you asked him to, well, then it's the woman's job to know, I got a car, he got a truck, all of that is maintenance. We got a house. That's maintenance, whether it's a mansion or mm-hmm. two-bedroom. It's maintenance. The children got to have clothes. They got to have shoes. The woman wants to look good. She wants to get her nails done. She wants to get her hair done. She wants new stuff. Otherwise, she feels neglected. Well, then you got to encourage the love if that man is working, because he's going to have some off days. Mm-hmm. And those off days, if he's a wise man, those off days is spent with his family because of the work schedule. Now, everything won't be the same all the time. Sometimes this cycle of being a workaholic will change as the Lord gives the man wisdom and knowledge how to budget the money to take care of everything. But he got to work. He got to give you the desires of your heart by way of the Lord. So if that woman is wise, she's going to encourage. She ain't going to let the children sit up and think, where my dad is, without telling them anything. She ain't going to be crying and mad in front of the children. Your daddy don't spend no time with us. The children ain't going to hear her on the phone talking to her husband, talking about, you never hear.
Right.
She's not going to do that because that would be unwise to do that.
Right.
Okay, but working and working in excess are two different things. So take the kids out of it. What about the partner?
Well, the partner gets the off days. The partner gets the off days. If the partner got things, if the partner wants the nails, wants the hair done, if the partner wants the car that makes her feel good to drive, if the partner wants the big house, and the partner don't work, well, then the man got to do it. And he's a real man.
I'm not contesting the work part. I'm contesting the working in excess.
Well, it's not excess. It's a necessity.
Not being a workaholic, you can take care of maintenance working a regular job 40 hours a week, not 80 or 100.
Well, it's depending
and if
on what you
have. You most likely don't have no days off.
He said, y'all live in a mansion. Y'all ain't living in no four-bedroom house. Y'all live in a mansion.
Right.
A mansion.
That's like 12 rooms.
In a mansion.
That's like triple the electricity bill if you don't have solar panels on your crib.
So if you want that, and you all, and women always saying, man is the provider, man is the provider. Well, if you want, if it's wage, you got to look at two different things. If his wage is not a prevailing wage, he got to have a second job until his wage come up.
See, but that's another beautiful thing about having the right partner, having a wise woman.
Right.
She'll lead you. She'll lead and suggest and assist you with elevating your belief system, you know, lead you into another direction, because it'd be a beautiful thing to start a business, you know.
Right.
Family business. It's like you have a family estate.
Right, right.
But you still got to have a ways to maintain the family estate, our business.
The wage comes from the business. You pay yourself.
Right.
You get a C-Corp, S-Corp, LLC. You're an employee of the LLC.
But you still got to have money. You still got to have money to do that.
Okay, Rev. We ain't going there. Because Becky,
I don't need
to live in has a mansion.
And if you're making all that money, then why the partner even got to stay home? I mean, you could afford to get somebody else to take care of. I just think there should be a work-life balance, and a workaholic will not have one in most cases.
Well, now, see, Keith, you got to understand. You live an independent woman life, right? You're not going to sit back and watch a man work. Be a workaholic without getting up, getting a job, helping him. But every woman was not taught that. Again, most daddies taught their daughters how to look for what a man's supposed to do. But a lot of them didn't teach them what they're supposed to do. So if a man has that woman, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say a lot of fathers did teach their daughters to be independent, self-sufficient, you know, but that reality TV and all of that, basketball wives and all of those things. But even with that, some of those women did start their own business. Some of them got restaurants, nail salons, you know, Thrive the Creator, you know. So that goes back to what, you know, Key is speaking to and what I said, you know. It's about being creativity, because if you have that right person in your life, you know, through everything that y'all do in your activities, creativity is going to manifest. You know, you go on a trip to the Bahamas or whatever the case may be. Just like right now, they got fashion, is Airbnb and all of these things, you know. Buying six cars and putting them out there to be rented on a daily basis for a set fee a day. You know, there's a lot of ways to get it. Making cupcakes, cookies, you know, charter schools. It's a lot of ways to do it. It's just that proper unity. You know, laboring for somebody else isn't always a necessity. You know, that goes with mindset. You know, you could even be Mr. and Miss Relationship Coach for $150 an hour.
Right. But that has to happen, right?
It can't be
just a mental gesturing. It has to be a physical gesturing too. Because if it's just a mind gesturing, there'll be no money made.
Step by step.
Well, I understand. I mean, your point is not missed on me. I just think there should be a balance, and I don't think a lot of workaholics have it. That's all I'm saying.
I think they do. I think what they're trying to do is keep what they have. Their wife, their family, the mundane things that they have bought. And I think that they, some men who are godly men, pray, Lord, make it better for me. But while they are waiting, while they're waiting on the process of God, then they got to keep doing what they're supposed to do.
Can I give you a quick scenario? Excuse me for interrupting, but let me just give you a quick scenario because.
Go ahead.
Okay. A lady friend of mine. She started working in a hospital. She really wasn't meeting anybody that she was really interested in. One day she met this guy that worked in the hospital. Now he was a lab tech. He worked in that hospital for, I think, 7 years at the same position. So when they started dating, I mean, she was making real good money. You know, she's a nurse. She looked into it and found out that if he took a test, he can go from $27,000 to $40,000, $40,000 or $50,000 a year. So she helped him study. He took that test and passed. So through her guidance and wisdom...
Right.
There you go. Through her guidance and wisdom, she helped him double his salary. Then she found out about another test. Right. There you go. He might have had to change shifts because with that position, you know, just say, for example, that was the case. But the reality is, once she knew what she had and he acknowledged what he had, you know, magical things happen. That's what I'm saying, you know. And these things are discovered in relationships, in dialogue.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Tying that knot, hopefully, right?
Right.
Okay.
Exactly, because that's the beautiful thing about being in the environment of the right person and knowing that they are that right person. Even if y'all don't agree to create that
see eye to eye.
Supreme unified union.
Mm-hmm.
At least we, you know, we both left a beautiful mark on each other, an indelible mark on each other. We've helped. We made each other's life better, even though we're not together. You see? But if you are together and if that assists you with coming together, that makes it even better because, you know, sky's the limit.
Okay.
The sky.
We have one last question.
That's all I wanted to
say. That one.
Come on with that
no,
question.
No problem.
Come on with it. Come on down.
All right. Y'all ready? We got
yeah.
13 minutes. If you and your mate were unable to have children naturally, would you adopt in vitro, just give up, or foster children? Reverend Ron.
If we couldn't have children, we wouldn't have children.
If you were unable to have children naturally, would you adopt in vitro,
no.
just
no.
give up, or foster children?
None of the above.
Okay. Can I ask, may I ask why?
Because
it wasn't
because
meant for you to have them?
It wasn't meant, and my love for her would be enough.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But what if she really wanted children?
Horse of a different color. We would have to agree upon which method we would take for a child.
Right.
Perhaps
okay,
we might have perhaps we might have somebody in the family who have a child but don't take care of the child. Don't want the child really. And might say to them, listen, me and what's called can't have children. If you want us to raise that child and parent that child, since we're your relatives, then we'd like to take that child. Or if it came to the point where we asked God, Lord, let us find a child that needs us as well as we need a child, bless us through it. Look for the blessings of God to bring a child along. But if it was a thing where she was all right with just loving me, and me already just loving her, then I'd say, let's love on, baby.
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. Eddie? Want me to read the question again?
I go down. I do some, well, first we do research to find out what the issues are.
Right.
Because there's a lot of natural ways to help and enhance or get things back in proper alignment, you know.
Yeah.
Other than that, it would probably be adopt. You know, but again, it depends on where the challenges are in reference to that.
Okay.
But sometimes going back to improper nutrition, sometimes that, you know, even though I'm going
might
too far with it, but I'd just say, yeah, exactly. Sometimes what you put in your mouth can be damaging, you know, your body, natural mechanics of your body. But overall, I think that would be my answer, you know. I yield.
Okay. Keith?
Well, I would say if we wanted children and could not have them naturally, then I would be open to adopting and fostering. Sometimes fostering leads to adoptions, and then sometimes fostering prepares you. So that means maybe you change your mind after you go through that process. But I'd be open to the two options if naturally it was not feasible.
But what if the husband says, okay, we don't have no children. You can't have no children. I want to just give all my love to you, and you give all your love to me. What would you say about that?
I would be open to that, but my statement was if we really wanted to have children and we weren't able to do it naturally, then those would be the options. But if I couldn't have them and he didn't feel pressured or didn't have a really strong desire to have children, I mean, they even have surrogacy options. So maybe if I couldn't, then you can go through that process so at least the kid have a part of one of us. That could be an option too. But if I couldn't, it'd be like, well, let's not think about it. Let's just live our life. We can love on our nieces and nephews or whoever. Then, I mean, I'm for that. But, I mean, being presented with the fact that we both want children and we're not able to naturally, then those would be the choices I'd make or we would make together.
Well, I agree with that.
I think adoption is a beautiful thing also. Even if we could or we did have children or, you know, whatever the case may be, adoption is, you know, because there's a lot of things going on in this world, and it always has.
Yeah.
I can even remember back they showed those pictures of all the indigenous children, even though that was a manipulation to program those children a certain way. Taking children off, you know, from their families and, and putting them in an orphanage in a school. It's like that old nursery rhyme, there was an old lady who lived in a shoe. She had so many children she didn't know what to do. That shoe was an orphanage. You know, it's not like she had all of those children. That shoe was an orphanage. So, yeah, I think adoption and things of that nature.
Okay.
I have an aunt that she raised I think about 8 children over the course of years since I've been. 2 sets of twins, 3 or 4 girls. But she basically raised boys. She had 2 or 3 girls, but she basically raised boys. And, that was a beautiful idea, Key. What'd you say, Doc?
Me? I'd either adopt or foster. I've always wanted to be a foster mother. Once my child went, was out of the house and everything. So I'd probably foster or adopt. Because everybody needs love.
Why not let it be as God will have it?
And maybe he has it for me to foster some children.
Exactly.
Well, I'm just saying, if you, say if your husband and you couldn't have children, y'all can have children, then why not leave it as God will have it and just love each other?
Well, maybe God close your womb or let the man not be able to produce sperm because he purposed you to embrace a kid from some other background or culture or situation even. Not all parents are meant to be different. So, I mean, they can have a lot of innocent children suffer because they're in, like, bad environments and the parents are selfish for whatever their reasons, and then the kid ends up in these really horrific situations, and maybe your contribution to conceiving naturally is in God's plan to open the door for you to give to the kids that need it because they were put with parents that could not give them.
Well, you could just go give to the orphanage.
You could do what?
You didn't hear a word she said. She emphasized on certain situations that these children wind up in environments that they're being abused and manipulated. So if you get or open your house or some environment for these children, those children will have a safe haven. They will have two parents in their life, or two people, a man and a woman in their life, to teach them that somebody really loves them enough to protect them, to pull them out of that environment, and show them another way of living. It's a beautiful thing. Why not?
Well, what about the Smiths, the group, the family in my hometown, Little Rock, and the man and the woman did have children, right? How about they go and adopt the child? And the child, because they wouldn't let him use the car, loaded up a gun. When they went to sleep, he killed both of them. They went out of their way. Mm-hmm. When they could have been just loving each other, blessing each other, being with each other. But
okay, you made that clear. Excuse me for cutting you off, but all I'm saying is it goes back to the same thing, just like interacting and getting to know that significant person that you're hoping to be your significant other. Conversation, observation, and guidance, you'll know who an individual is. If there's a child in your environment that you're thinking about bringing into your home, and that child demonstrates those kind of instabilities, then that wouldn't be a good match anyway. That child isn't deserving, you know, or not willing to let go of some of the things that he or she went through. I mean, you never know. There's such thing as just, you know, I hate to say it, but bad seeds, maybe. I mean, I got a friend who's married, and him and his wife had a child. And this little fella, I think he's 8 years old, and he's still wearing a diaper because he doesn't want to. I mean, he's mentally challenged, and they're choosing not to get this poor child that's suffering help. Now, I've never seen them beat him, but, you know, I know the guy, and he's told me he's beat him like he used to get beat. And that little boy, he almost put his mother in the hospital. I don't know what he hit her with, but he hit her with something. So there's something there. There's something going on, even though I'm going too far with it. But I'm just saying, each one of us had parents. Right. You know, we were fortunate enough to have mother and father. But even if we didn't have a father or a mother, we still were guided. And I don't think any of our parents spared the rod, should I say.
No.
Okay. And all of us are here on this phone, no matter what age we are this day. But we've all had our experience, and that's another reason. Well, you'll know right and wrong anyway. But, no. When you see and you sense and you feel, or that child demonstrates that it has issues while it's coming up and young, I mean, it ain't about getting no 13, 14-year-old. You know, if you get you some land in a building and hire some people, then, yeah, okay, then you could have a group home, you know, whatever. But you have to keep records on all the behaviors of all the children. And they have to have some kind of psychiatry if they have come from a traumatic background. But the good thing about what Doc spoke to earlier, proper nutrition and exercise and love and responsibility and chores will demonstrate who that child is and if they really want to participate. But if they're always complaining and things like that, well, maybe they don't deserve to be in that environment. I mean, it's sad to say, but bad is bad, you know? I mean, so,
and they have people that have their own kids. Oh, I'm sorry, Eddie. I thought you were done.
No, I'm complete. I'm complete.
Wait, but there are people that have their own children, and the same things happen where the kids set them up to be killed, or they kill them themselves, or abuse the parents, and, I mean, are still malicious. So it don't really matter
is going to be in their disposition, because, I mean, a lot of kids, especially now, feel so entitled, and it, that creates its own set of problems. So it's not just that you can adopt a kid, you make all this effort, and they turn around and kill you, you sleep or whatever. Your own kids can do that to you. There are a lot of cases active through the century that bear witness to that. And you could be good to them. You could not abuse them. And, I mean, you can love them and give them adequate discipline. Uh-huh. And they'll still turn around and shoot your head. So, it,
right.
I don't think
I mean,
it's
all...
It's not.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, you don't know what seed is in that child, that adopted child or that foster child, because it's not your child. But then again... Like us talk about deep dark secrets. You don't know what deep dark secrets embedded in you either. So from some way, you know, you may not know the child, but then again, you may have birthed a child and could still do the same thing naturally. You know, you can.
Yes,
it doesn't matter. You know, it's what God gave you, and if He gave you a house to open up to a child to adopt. And you do that, or the foster, because, you know, there's enough people out there to foster and to adopt. But Reverend Ron, I'm not going to say he's going to disagree, but he loved his wife. So, you know, he loved on her. He was in love with her, and he was in love with her. He loved on her, and he cherished her. So he was basically selfish, if you ask me, but that's okay, too. So that's just how some people are.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yes,
that was
indeed.
His child, basically. That was his love child. He loved her. So he wanted to spend eternity with her. Is that not correct? Not correct. Is that not right, Reverend?
Very right.
See? And so they didn't want to, I won't say they didn't want to have children, but they didn't have children because all they needed was each other. Me, myself, I wanted to have 10 kids. And, then later on, I didn't have the 10 kids, but then I thought about becoming a foster parent because that's just my heart, and that's just how I feel. I'm a nurturer, so I would love. Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. To each his own. That's why I said if you and your mate were unable to, not you, me, and your mate, because I'm not in that equation. If you and your mate is in that equation. So that's all that I'm saying about that. Anybody else? Anybody have questions that they want to pose to us?
What's the next topic?
I don't know yet. I don't know yet. I mean, because you had another one out there that
I got a topic.
To, and what's his name? Joe had a topic as well. I'm ready. First, go ahead with your topic.
If your wife beats you and you love it, should you pay her?
That's
oh,
a 5-minute question.
That's too much.
Is it just your wife or is it your mate? Because I'm not going to have a wife.
Yeah, well, if you're a mate, there you go.
And that this is a, well, let's just answer that now. Because that topic is not really, it's not a long 1 hour, 2 hours.
Nah, I got 10 questions to go into that end of that chapter. You know, I got some questions to go along with it too. Now.
Okay, so you want to be the if your mate beats you, what's the rest
and
of it?
And you like it, should you pay for it?
I mean, she's your wife. Why would you pay for it if she's your wife or me? Are you doing some dominatrix stuff? Would you pay them?
To whoop you?
Yeah, ponder that. Ponder that.
Ain't nothing to ponder. I don't like beating, so I'm sorry. That's just me. I didn't like spanking, so I don't like beating.
No, he said
I don't
if
like,
you
I don't like
pain. No, he said if you like
I don't like it. I ain't like it because I don't like pain.
Well, maybe you, maybe you're the one. Right, maybe, then maybe you're the one that's doing the beating. See, maybe you're the one that's doing the beating.
I think I spanked my daughter twice, maybe three times. I don't like
you spank, you beat who twice?
I said I spanked my child maybe once or twice.
Well, that's different from your from your spouse or your mate, I guess.
It is.
Thanks, Rev. See,
it is different, but I would, if someone loves me, why am I going to beat them?
Well, he might want you to whoop him like he want to be whooped.
Okay, that's dominatrix stuff. We don't have to go into dominatrix stuff. That's what that is.
No, that's not dominatrix.
Yeah. the whips and all that other stuff, whips and chains. Okay.
I say just don't leave the whole bunch of bruises, and maybe you can recycle the money so you can expand on to introduce to the environment.
You know what? I was always told, if you want to beat somebody, beat them on the bottom of the feet, because there's not going to be no mark. I was always told.
Yeah, but that ain't
one question. Go ahead.
Another part of the reality is it don't necessarily have to be whoops and chains, you know, and it don't have to be any particular tool either. You know, I mean, you know. Passion is passion, you know, going back to chandeliers and, you know, out in the cabin in the mountain,
I'm done with all y'all.
It's about using your imagination.
I'm done with all y'all.
Ooh-wee, baby. Ooh-wee. Ooh-wee, baby.
Whoop me like I want to be whooped.
Yes, indeed.
That would have to be y'all show, because someone asked, what do men want to expect from each other in relationship, marriage and gender? When men look at women as sex objects, is that a bad thing? I think that was what Joe had asked. And sexual predators, fantasy of you. Okay. Why men don't date strange or strong women. Okay, that was, I found that on, well, I think that was on Clubhouse. But yeah, y'all just too much.
See, that's the reality of a real good relationship. Just like, who sung that song? Was it Sherelle?
Mm-hmm.
she was creeping because everything that she wanted wasn't at home. That was Sherelle, right? Y'all remember that song? You give me attention, you're someone who satisfies
you
my needs.
I don't know. I don't know that song.
No, that's Whitney Houston.
Not right off the top of my head. You
that's
give
Whitney
good
Houston.
Love is yeah. But no, I don't know about. I don't know from Sunday, Monday, from Saturday, love.
No. Listen. You're not paying attention. You give me
attention.
You're someone who understands my needs. A man that is sensitive. Everything I miss at home, you know how to love me and do all the things I like to feel. I forgot that next lyric, but that's what she says. That's basically the hook of the song. Everything I miss at home. So going back to my suggestion, if you have that significant person in your life, they should be everything that you want and need. Ain't nothing wrong with having some wigs in there. You know what I'm saying? Some maid and some butler uniforms. You know, even some martial arts geese in the closet. You know what I'm saying? You might want to do some Wu-Tang up in the crib.
You know what? It's
36 chambers, baby. 36 chambers. 36 chambers. Think about it.
But the name of the song is Everything I Miss at Home.
Yeah, I think that's Sherelle.
It is Sherelle. Mm-hmm. I'm signing. Okay, it says, hold me, I never meant for this to happen, but if it's wrong, why does it feel so right? You give me attention, like you said. You're someone who understands my needs, a man who is sensitive. Everything I miss at home, you know how to hold me and do all the things I want to feel. Inside of each tender kiss, I get everything I miss at home. I was
That's lust.
No, but listen.
That's exceedingly lust,
again,
brother.
No, but the reality is if you're in a relationship, if you're in a strong, firm relationship, and she has needs or you have needs,
to be
and that
whooped.
Person is, hey, it's a need. If it's a need to an individual, that's a need.
Yeah, it's no need
and,
to get a woman.
And that is not being, if that's not being participated in at home. See, it's, now, I'm speaking on, now that I was just jesting, but if that's what that man wants, as long as it's not abuse, as long as that's what he requires or wants, that's fine. I can't see no man beating on no woman. Even if that woman wants that, I don't, you know, that's not my wheelhouse. I don't play that. No. But I'm just saying, you know, maybe I did take a little too far as I usually do, but I'm just saying that woman or your mate should be everything that you need. And these things keep things exciting. It doesn't have to be extremely perverted and stuff like that. But there are people that go into all kind of things. I remember. Never mind. I ain't going into that. I'm gonna leave that alone.
Eddie, what if she whoops you hard and didn't want to be whooped? What about that?
Then I'm gonna tell her she's starting to like this game too much and it's time to quit.
She got you all gagged up. Well, you can't say nothing. Well, then what? She got the big old ball in your mouth, and then you tied around.
I ain't playing that either. If there's gonna be some handcuffs in the game, them handcuffs gonna be plastic. You know what I'm saying? Feel me? They're gonna be plastic. They ain't gonna be no real steel. We ain't doing that. She might have a flashback of a previous war or something.
No, she's going to tie you to the bed with some nice handkerchiefs and some silk cloth. We tie your feet in your hands, and you can't do nothing. Nothing. So, anybody else have any questions? I'm trying to tell you.
Well, she's going to have to buy me a new headboard because I'm sure enough going to break that headboard. You know, I will get loose, trust me.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's crazy. So, Key did have another question. Let me see. What's the inbox? I think I still have it out there.
I had three, and then we kind of combined the three in the one conversation. Because they fed off of like something before it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to think of some new stuff to guess, but I haven't come up with nothing yet.
I got another one.
Oh goodness, I'm not gonna do
if,
this one.
No, this is a good one. This is a good one. That I was joking with that. You know, I just love having fun. I'm jovial. I can't help it. I love spontaneity.
Okay,
I'm a lot like my dad that way.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
Okay, now. You're in a relationship.
I would say email it to me.
Come on now. It's in my mind now. I might forget in 10 minutes. If you keep interrupting me, I'm going to forget in 3 minutes.
That's what I was trying to do.
I know that's what you're doing, trying to throw commercials in my melodrama. This is a melodrama right here. This is a melodrama. It's a B movie.
It's going to be a B movie in a minute.
Yeah, somebody in a relationship wants to start a business. The other person
okay.
doesn't. What would you do?
That's a question you want me to pose to the people?
Yeah, I think that would be an interesting topic, you know, because some people are entrepreneurs, you know. Catering business, mail order, transportation, logistics.
Once
I have somebody
start.
In my family, they have a bus company. You know, I know some people that have trucking companies.
Okay, one person in the relationship wants to start a business, the other one doesn't.
Right. Oh, man,
question.
I don't believe it. I just opened the door. I am not feeding this cat this time of night. This cat is crazy.
What's he not a cat? No. Wants attention, and you don't want to get
it. All right, Rev.
You
pushing
right
that envelope.
You got the answer right there.
Hey, the cat wants attention,
right
and you
there.
Say no.
Nah, okay. Okay, you say cat, cat, cat.
What
you say?
Hey, Eddie. Hey, Eddie, you're going
to
have to go
hey,
Eddie, you're
going
to have to
say,
the
cat.
Okay.
I think,
so,
hey, Rev, I think that's a boy cat, too. I don't think that's a female cat. So I can't even say what they call a cat, you know. Why must I feel like
okay.
that? Why must I
okay.
chase the cat? Nothing but the dog in me.
Okay.
I ain't feeling you tonight.
Yo,
it's too late.
Okay, y'all stop. I'm going to put all y'all on mute in a minute. Okay, announcement. Talk about the memorial service for Sharon Salisbury Frazier in Yakima. Planned for December.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody wants to take participation in the show, let me know. Who is making all that noise in the background? Is that you, Eddie?
Yeah, I'm running from the cat.
Well, put yourself on mute, please. Thank you.
Okay.
We would like to have a live show, and if anyone is interested in being on the program, please let me know. Thank you. October 20th, that's Thursday, if I have a show. as Miss Inez says, let's talk about it. Okay, that's just my nephew. He didn't have anything to say. On October 23rd, Sunday, is the fourth Sunday, Reverend Carolyn Williamson will be speaking. Yakima, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. On Tuesday, Miss Inez says, let's talk about it again. 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. That's Tuesday. Wednesday night Bible study with Reverend Ronnie Marshall. October the 27th, Ms. Inez says, let's talk about it. October 30th, which is the fifth Sunday, is Pastor W.F. Pride, Jr. out of Yakima with Grace Temple, Church of God in Christ. Please, please, please support Reverend Ronnie Marshall with his Don't Turn Away from God album through all music media. And are you ready to send out your new album, Rev? Is it ready yet?
It's not ready yet. I got what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a video on this first song on the album, which is Jesus Can Make You Whole. But I'm going to finish the album early spring.
Mm-hmm.
So I should have it finished, the video, during the month of November, the Lord's will.
Okay. Okay.
And I'll get you copies.
Okay. Eddie said, Rev said, ain't no room in his love life. So funny. Oh, goodness. To keep us through radio on the air, donate to Cash App, $ANAISEVALCOUR or the Venmo at @MZ-INEZ or through Zelle with my telephone number. And we're open to sponsorships as well. If you want to become a sponsor, send me an email at letsdoitradio@gmail.com, or if you know somebody who may want to sponsor Let's Do It Radio, send them out that email. And I want to, of course, a great big thank you to each and every one of you for calling in, for joining in, for clowning with me tonight. It was a whole lot lighter in spirit than it was the last time, so that was kind of different. So I want to thank you to every one of you for being honest and open about your answers and the questions that were posed to you on Relationship Roundtable Part 4. And we have learned so much more about our callers and our panel. So basically, we're learning about each other, so through our love relationships. And maybe you might have a topic you'd like to discuss, and if that's the case, email it to me at letsdoitradio@gmail.com. Don't forget to share on your social media platforms, because that's how we get our information out there. I email it, I text it, I put it out there on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram. So if you're my friend out there, send it out, share it, care it, bear it, you know, just don't stare at it and delete it. And you can go to any previous episode on demand at www.blogtalkradio.com/letsdoitradio. And again, I want to thank you to everyone of you for joining me on this Tuesday evening. And stay well, stay prayed up, stay, you know, in contact with one another, and, you know, love one another, I guess you could say, you know. Thank you for joining us on Miss Inez Says. Let's talk about it. And it's just been a good evening. It was a lighthearted evening. So thank you. I have been your hostess for the evening with my panel of my comrades. I'm Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of On Ice Alco Design at www.anaisevalcour.com. And I can be found on Facebook and on Instagram under On Ice Alco. So thank you. Until we meet next time, stay safe. And Reverend Ron, stay safe in New York, because we got some crazies out there. Some may, you know, snatch you up and maybe beat you or something, or chain you up or something. So, so I want to thank you to everyone, one of you for calling in tonight. And we're going to close out on Someone to Love You by Rough Ends. Yes, sir. Rough End. Your mind. Feel All we need is someone to love. Have a good night and be safe. Peace out.